I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go.
609, hi. This is as good as my voice is going to sound all day, by the way. You know, sometimes the cure is worse than the... What's a thing? The cure is worse than the condition or something? What's that old saying?
The bite is worse than the sting or something?
No, it's like that, when you, that whatever you're doing to get rid of the thing that you're doing makes the thing sound worse.
Like so, when anyway, I kick you in the stomach to make your sore throat go away?
Yeah, hit me in the toe.
The cure is worse than the cause?
That's it.
Oh, there you go.
Dance with who brung you?
Yeah, dance with who brung you. That was it. You take a ball peen hammer, you hit yourself in the toe, and then you forget about your headache.
Yes.
So there's this inhaler. That's a medicated inhaler thing to get rid of the cough that won't quit.
It's an inhaler.
Well, it's just
not an inhaler.
I know, he's saying inhaler.
It's an inhaler.
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 So I got this inhaler, and so by 9 o'clock in the morning, my voice is cooked. It just does this vocal fry thing. So I'm going to need the rest of you and all the listeners to do the majority of the show today.
Sounds good.
I've got endless thoughts, Steve. Good to be here, by the way.
That's Mark Carman. He's in for Dave Ennett. And Dave will be back, we think, tomorrow. It might be Friday. You know, a good day for you to be here. Donald Trump's calling.
Oh, good.
Yep. Yep. So that'll be good. Karen Conti's on today. Jeremy Piven scheduled to appear. And some charitable friends of mine later. And then Ro Khan, back from his second trip to Arizona in a month.
Steve, have you ever thought about gargling with warm salt water?
No, is that a good thing?
That's something my mom always tells me to do when I have a sore throat.
It's not even a sore throat. It's just
kind of a raspy, irritation. weakness. Yeah.
It is a weakness as a man. I think that's what it is. So warm salt water.
Warm salt water. We can get you some if you want.
I'm going to Google inhaler throat.
Inhaler throat?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a band I was in?
Ooh, inhaler throat irritation. How to get rid of it.
All right. So do that for me, if you would.
Google anything.
There's also Flonase throat as well. I don't know if you take Flonase.
I take Flonase.
So Flonase makes my throat, when allergies kick in and I have to use it a lot, makes my throat sore and raspy.
How many pumps are you taking?
Maybe 20 or 30.
I take one each day and every day, 365 days a year, because I'm allergic to everything except for horsehair and feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Another band I was in,
horsehair and feathers.
I've never gotten a sore throat from my Flonase.
Instead of getting better, you should try to get worse. Just, you know, start smoking and drinking and
take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Cure it.
Exactly. I was basically kicked out of our commercial studio yesterday. We had some commercials I needed to record, and Ernie kicked me out. I mean, I sounded sort of like Lucille Ball at the end, for those of you old enough to remember that voice.
Steve, you might have thrush. It's oral candiditis. People who take inhaler.
Oral candiditis is a band of his.
Yeah, don't you have bad breath with that?
It's a fungal infection of the mouth.
Wait, isn't that candiditis the thing that's killing people now?
That's what it says here, yeah.
I have oral candiditis?
Yeah,
what was that song?
A fungal infection.
Candiditas.
Candiditas.
Uh-oh.
Tony Orlando and Dunn.
It also can cause osteoporosis, that inhaler.
Oh, I've already got osteoporosis.
Vision problems?
Wait, what's osteoporosis? That's when your bones break?
When you
break. Oh, no. My bones are fine. My bones are fine.
You'll need a walker at some point.
Actually, wow. I think the side effect you have is hoarseness.
That's it.
Yeah, you experience hoarseness of the voice, known as dysphonia.
But do I have a shot at oral candiditis? Because that sounds like
possibly
an interesting story.
I think that's when you don't when the inhaler hits like your tongue, and if you don't like swish it around.
Yeah, you got to rinse it out.
Yeah, because that's when you get the fungus.
I actually have a fire hose. I just blast it into my mouth.
There was a very subtle defense of your breath there by Mary. Did you hear that? That means you have bad breath, and she's.
I didn't say you had bad breath.
It's interesting. I've never had bad breath in my life.
You do get bad breath from.
I've never had bad breath. I'm the only one in the world that's never had bad breath.
Thing that fungus is going to give you bad breath.
All right, so I'd like to thank all the doctors on the program who have diagnosed me. The whole point of this is when I start frogging out by 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm just going to need you all to just call in nonstop with whatever's on your mind.
Perfect. I like that.
312-981-7200, phone calls and texts. Let's see the top 6 at 6.
From the Steve
Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, just after news broke that Jussie Smollett had been indicted on 16 felony counts, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox told her top deputy that Smollett was, quote, a washed-up celeb who lied to the cops. The number of felony counts he faced was excessive. You can't be a washed-up celeb if you were never really a celeb. I mean, prior to this, the only people that knew Jussie Smollett were the people that watched Empire and some music fans of him. But, I mean, he couldn't sell out a club. You know, he was a guy that was on the rise, who was making $100,000 an episode, who was bitching about how much money he made, who sent himself a letter threatening himself, and then hired two goons to beat him up so there would create sympathy, and somehow he thought that would make him more money. First off, he's got a terrible agent. If his terrible agent couldn't sit him down and tell him you were making more than you deserved already, you know, continue to grow your career and you'll make money. But I don't know where the washed-up celeb comes from.
I'm not sure, but the bigger thing is she did a lot of texting, internal texting, about the case. And even after she recused herself, she still was doing a lot of texting. So
at the bare minimum, she appears to be unprofessional.
Loose. That's loose operation.
Yeah. Next, Tony Preckwinkle returned more than 30 donations from a fundraiser held by Alderman Ed Burke. But not all checks have been cashed, according to records, as she continues to clean up from getting thumped in the mayor's race.
Does that matter, the check cashing? Do you think it, like, it, or is that an agreement? Like, I'm going to write you this check, but you don't cash it, and then I get to keep the money.
I think it's probably money that they kept, you know, on hand in case they needed it, you know, to go into her fund. By the way, I'm keeping all the money Ed Burke gave me.
Good move.
Yeah. Next, an order issued by Attorney General William Barr yesterday would keep thousands of asylum seekers in jail indefinitely as they await resolution of their requests. The move aims to deter immigrants fleeing violence and poverty from asking for legal status in the U.S. I don't understand how this is the Attorney General's purview. The Attorney General is the guy who is supposed to maintain the law in this country, is the number one lawman in the land. This is a political move. When you say I'm trying to deter asylum seekers, that's politics. That's not the law. You're supposed to uphold the law and make sure the laws are enforced. The order which goes into effect in 90 days is almost certain to be challenged in court. So, again, Mr. Barr continues to create controversy around himself. Next, let's go live to Loyola, where Carm's standing by with Porter Mosier. Is Mr. Mosier coming on this morning?
He is available, Steve, if you want him.
Okay, we'll see if we can get him on. What's the story?
So the story is St. John's really wanted Porter Mosier. Chris Mullen left that position, and St. John's came after Porter. They offered him roughly $18 million over 8 years, which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
He makes $900,000 a year at Loyola.
So more than twice his salary.
Right.
Yeah.
But he loves Loyola, and he's staying at Loyola. Go Ramblers, go Porter.
He said there was a quote, there's a lot of other things that can make you rich besides dollars.
Well, he
was a really nice guy. But
you're making $900,000. You can get by on that. And if you like living in Chicago, and doesn't he have kids still in school?
He's got four kids. What's interesting?
Well, turn around and ask him. You're live at Loyola.
Well, Porter, don't you want to stay? He does. He absolutely wants to stay in Loyola. Look, St. John's a bad job. Very hard to win there. A lot of dough, but he's going to have other offers if he wants to leave eventually, and he loves being at Loyola. So Porter's very happy, and he's going to be hanging out at the beach at Rogers Park today, so you can come on by.
Oh, I had a very similar circumstance when I was working at FM 100. I was making $12 an hour, and then I got offered $15 to go to another station, and I said, look, I'm happy here. So it's very similar.
Good choice, Steve.
Let's go live to Lake Forest, where Karma's standing by for item number 6.
Hey, Steve.
Bears' Zach Miller is in the news. Why?
He is retiring officially. This is a year and a half after that gruesome dislocation left knee injury in New Orleans, which was a catch.
I want to warn people we're going to show the clip right now. Let's go to the clip.
Oh, yeah. That was that. See, when you're looking at it, that was a catch, and the NFL should step in a year and a half later. But Zach Miller, so well-respected, Steve. The Bears loved him, and he tried everything he could to get back on the field. 9 surgeries, but officially retiring.
Yeah, and I don't know him, but I heard a good dude.
Good dude. Wants to be around football, so I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up in the Bears organization doing something.
Pretty coach?
I think he can coach. Okay. I think he could be a great tight ends coach, perhaps make his way to be a head coach. Who knows?
And finally, need to borrow something. A new tool at the library hopes to lend drills, saws, and slow cookers.
Excuse me?
So there's going to be like a room in the back where they keep all this stuff? Or
no,
what?
It's going to be the Chicago Tool Library.
Oh, I thought it was a library handing this stuff out. It's a tool library.
It's a tool library. It's going to be opening in Bridgeport.
I got it.
I think the items are being donated. And so, like, if you think you want to make some pasta, but you don't want to invest in a pasta maker, you head over to the Tool Library and you can rent it or, you know, take it for like a library.
Well, what about the longstanding tradition of borrowing something from your neighbor and not giving it back? I mean, where's that going
to
go?
Nobody talks to their neighbors.
Yeah. So if I need a bolt cutter, can I go and get a bolt cutter?
You can.
I think so. What are you cutting bolts for?
Yeah, I can't really tell you.
Okay.
I want to know who's going to end up cleaning all this stuff.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
The librarians are going to have to start cleaning.
Like, and plus, like, some of them are really heavy. Like, I have a, you know, my KitchenAid Mixmaster that's a beast.
Yeah,
as fascinating as it is to the Six Flags between Sandberg's ears, sometimes, Vandeveld, you'll say something and I go, really? That's what you thought? Who's cleaning the tools?
That's the first thing I thought, because I don't want to use somebody's dirty slow cooker.
If you don't return them, then... Do you get a fine? Is that how that works? And then you just have to wait for somebody to return the slow
cooker? Yeah, you can keep them for a week.
And then the library cop from Seinfeld comes over and shakes you down.
Isn't that the worst? Remember at the video store, though, if you would like reserve a movie for a Saturday, but somebody didn't return it, and so you didn't get to watch?
Oh, yeah.
That was the worst.
When you rent those puppets at the library, and they're all dirty because somebody else's hands?
Wow. Yeah.
When your kids rent.
Wait, hold on. Time out. You rented puppets at the library?
Well, our library has hand puppets.
Oh, I know those
kids
puppets.
Kids can rent them or take them out, you know, and ugh, they were always just nasty.
Anything you got to stick your hand up in is not a good idea.
This comes from people who are in a business who put on rented costumes twice a year or three times a year.
Well, not anymore.
Have you ever seen a movie at the library, Steve?
No. There's apparently a whole wonderful world of things going on at the library I'm not aware of.
My elderly dad and his wife, they were going to the library for a movie, and they invited us to the Glencoe Library to watch a movie.
What was the movie?
It looked actually pretty good. I was interested, but I just couldn't get myself to go Glencoe Library movie at this age. I didn't think I was quite ready for that.
Because the seats are uncomfortable?
Right, Joe.
And there's no popcorn.
Yeah, maybe there is popcorn. I don't know.
You might have to bring snacks.
Do you have to be super quiet when you're watching a movie at the library, too?
I would think you
Is
you
it
would
a silent movie?
No, there was noise there, Steve.
I really want to know what the movie was. You don't remember.
I'll find out for you right this very moment.
I know with the kids' movies, they allow a little chatter. Do they allow snacks? You can bring snacks.
It's what?
It's the movie where she was forging letters to try to get her author career going. Somebody might know that.
Is that Amy Adams?
The Notebook?
Was it Melissa McCarthy?
No.
No.
Okay, I got it. Hang on.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, somebody was nominated for an award for that.
It's your top six, and we're done right now.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I know what I'll do today. I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out.
By the way, nice poll, Joe.
Now I like
Joe seems to find the most ridiculous music at the perfect time. At 6:26, Mary Vandeveld, you are right. It is a Melissa McCarthy movie.
Yeah.
Called Can You Ever Forgive Me?
That's what it is.
Thanks, so, Mary.
Mary has points on the board and control of the board. let's check in with Carm on his relationship. Carm is engaged to a lovely woman named Chelsea, who's half his age. And we just haven't seen you in a couple weeks. How are the wedding plans?
Well, I've won my first war here, Steve. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. I have pushed through the no to the sundae bar. And I know that people love ice cream and brownies and different options.
S-U-N-D-A-E, sundae.
Sundae.
I didn't know this was an argument.
Well, you know, every little bit of the wedding, what I'm finding, Steve, is an argument. And what are we going to do for dessert was a big topic of discussion. And the sundae bar, Mary, you look very interested.
I'm very interested.
Well, sundae bar was, was $45 a person.
Yeah.
And I said that. It's too much for ice cream. We are not doing that, so we're bringing in the gelato cart.
Why would it be $45 a person?
I have no idea. That's what they charge.
That's insane.
You're rolling in a portable freezer with ice cream in it.
So let's back up here. That means that she's getting her hotel wedding.
Yep.
because you don't have a Sunday card. He wanted a beach wedding somewhere. You know, that's not happening in Lake Geneva. This is a hotel wedding
downtown.
All right,
downtown. So it's a hotel wedding. What other arguments have you lost?
What I left out is that I've lost literally every other argument.
Yeah. Sure.
So, by the way, did
anyone who looks like me tell you this was going to happen?
I think it was somebody like exactly like you, Steve. Uh-huh.
And sometimes the Sunday bar, while it's a great idea as a dessert person, I love a Sunday bar, but it gets messy. People have had cocktails. There's sauce going everywhere.
It is a mess. And, women wear lovely dresses that they don't want to spill ice cream on.
1,000% I'd spill hot fudge
all
over.
So you're going
me.
Gelato cart?
We're getting a gelato cart, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I've seen, though, a couple times, which I thought was a great idea, is a candy table.
Candy table, not bad.
Yeah, and I mean, just a huge selection of candy and have at it.
That's not bad.
So are you not having a cake?
No, there will be a cake, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Cake,
Doug,
too?
I was going to say, if you don't have cake, Mary, I said I didn't want a cake at my wedding, and Mary and Marlene, who runs this place, they came after me, like, what kind of heathen are you that you don't want a cake? So,
I actually should walk that back. I haven't heard any discussion about the cake.
You're having a cake.
We're having a cake.
Yeah, for sure.
Steve, I've stepped back. To be honest with you,
you had to learn. You had to jump into the pool to see if you could swim. Turns out you can't.
I drowned bad. It's I don't know if this portends anything bad for the future.
Well, I can give you a vision of the future because Sandberg is bananas this morning because you left the house without your wedding rings.
Yes, this is true. I'm very uncomfortable.
And not uncomfortable because you don't have them. Uncomfortable because somehow someone broke up your routine.
Yes.
So why did you take them off?
Well, I don't sleep in jewelry, any kind of jewelry. So I also don't wear them around the house. The second I get home from work, I change and I take off my rings.
Oh, you're an accident waiting to happen.
Gosh, they're going to get lost.
Yeah, I put them in the same exact spot every single day. That's why I'm so thrown off.
When that weird earthquake hits the north side and they rattle and fall to the floor and then bounce into a radiator.
They have a spot, but I usually put them on after I spray my hairspray because the hairspray gets all over them and I didn't do it because I was checking. I was
reading
an email for work. Yeah, so I'm very frustrated.
Right, and I think the bigger question here is what's the deeper issue here down in your psyche that's thrown you off of your routine, and how is it going to affect other parts of your life now?
Wow, Grzanich. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the show is already a train wreck off the air because she just can't get over it. She's just flipping out over here.
And so I was suggesting to Steve that we do a text question that what makes you feel naked when you leave the house without... ... And then Steve said clothes.
Yeah.
But I've got
the house
things.
Without clothes, I feel totally naked.
Like I can't come to work without mascara on either. I would have to go home.
The only thing that would really flip me out is not having my phone. Maybe that's the question. What would you go back for?
That happened to me yesterday. For the second time in as many weeks, I left my phone at home.
Yeah, I can't
touch my phone from 3:30 in the morning until about noon.
I've left my wallet home, which means I'm driving illegally, and was more comfortable than I would be if I left my phone.
If you left your phone, I can see that. The phone, I think you said your phone too, Mark, right?
Phone's 10 times worse than your wallet, but the wallet would make me feel pretty uneasy. Because what happens if you...
If you need a snack.
I have emergency cash in my car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
I keep $1,000 at all times. In case I have to make bail or something. All right. So there's a quick mini text question, if you will. What'll make you go back to the house? 312-981-7200 when you leave in the morning. Mm. Or what makes you feel naked? Or anything of that type. You can tell I'm having trouble formulating a question. 312-981-7200. We're going to come back with your headlines next on 720 WGM. Texters from the 773. I forgot my ring last week and felt like I was betraying my wife. She had to call me down. 703, eyebrow pencil and earrings.
Eyebrow pencil. I'm with him. I also like
eyeglasses. Well, when you start walking into walls as you leave the house, that's probably a key. somebody says their lunch. I feel uneasy if I'm not wearing lipstick. My grandmother always said she felt naked if she left the house without her earrings on as well. My watch. I can't leave the house without my watch. I'd go back home for my lunch. I said that one, didn't I? Oh, and when I accidentally took my wife with me, I returned her home.
There's a gentleman that said that he's driven an hour and a half to go back and get his belt.
Oh, I've left without a belt. I would never do that. I'd rather have my pants fall off than go back and get a belt. I said the adult version of head and shoulders, knees and toes is wallet, glasses, keys and phone.
The Mueller report, when they talk about obstruction, we fight back.
And you know why we fight back? Because I knew how illegal this whole thing was. It was a scam. What I'm most interested in is getting started. Hopefully the Attorney General, he mentioned it yesterday, is doing a great job getting started on going back to the origins of exactly where this all started. Because this was an illegal witch hunt. And everybody knew it. And they knew it, too. And they got caught. And what they did was treason.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
And as sick as I am at talking about the buffoonery that comes out of his mouth, this is why it has to continue to be addressed. It's not an illegal investigation, regardless of how it turned out. It was set up, mandated by the fact that he fired Comey, and he did it so ham-handedly. Nothing illegal about the investigation. Nothing. Karen Conti joins us now. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm fine, thank you.
So Sunday night's on the radio at what time?
From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. I want to ask you about this college cheating thing before I ask you about the buffoonery. that is this. There's people around the country always feel that Hollywood stars can be out of touch, and many of them are. But this headline couldn't be more out of touch. Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo Giannulli, are outraged that they're being called cheaters. Well, what would we call them? Well, of course you're a cheater. It's exactly what you did. I save your outrage and maybe plead guilty and get it over with. Why did they plead not guilty? Was that a good thing to do?
Well, first of all, I don't think they've come to grips with the fact that they've done something wrong. From what I'm reading, again, you know, you're not sure all of it is true. They've said to their friends and their family, you know, listen, we knew maybe we were violating a rule, but we didn't know we were violating the law.
Okay, they could not be more stupid if they didn't know they were doing something wrong.
Well, that's not a defense. I mean, if you have good intentions to do something wrong, that's not a defense to the crime. And when you do something false to gain an advantage, that's what we call fraud. And clearly, they were violating the law if they did what they're alleged to have done. Why didn't they plead guilty? Well, a couple of reasons. Maybe they haven't come to grips with the wrongdoing yet, number one. Number two, because of the amount of money that they paid, that's $500,000, that drives the sentence very, very high. So in comparison with Felicity Huffman, who only paid $15,000, she probably is not going to do a whole lot of jail time. I mean, maybe a few months, if any at all. She pled guilty. She apologized profusely. I thought it was a very well-written apology. And $15,000 is not a lot. But $500,000 could drive the sentence up to 20 years. I mean, conceivably. So maybe she's got no incentive to plead guilty because they're not offering her something she can live with.
So she doesn't want to go to jail at all. Big surprise, nobody does. But Felicity Huffman, who, as you said, did the right thing, apparently is still facing probably 4 months. Does that surprise you?
No, just because the sentencing guidelines are pretty draconian. I mean, there's no, you know, the prosecutor, you know, they have to follow it. I mean, there's a range. And if you do the math on it, 4 months is probably the minimum. I mean, there's a possibility that, to set an example, the prosecution would say we should deviate from it because she cooperated early. You know, maybe she's going to turn over some other witnesses and some other wrongdoers. It's possible she could do no jail time.
How about the kids, if they knew? If they're over 18 or 21, are they in trouble?
Yeah, and you know, no one's really talking about it, but apparently there was some news stories a couple days ago that the prosecutors were sending out what we call target letters to some of the students and some graduates who may have participated with their parents in this kind of fraud. The idea being, hey, listen, you're a target, and we are investigating you, and we may prosecute you. And, you know, a lot of people are going, oh, they're kids. You know what? We prosecute 15-year-olds for stealing a cell phone, you know? And these kids stole, you know, if they did, in fact, cooperate or, you know, participate in this, I mean, they stole, you know, a $300,000 education from somebody else. So, yeah, sure. And you know, the prosecution could also want to set an example to say, not only do the parents not get to do this, but the kids don't get to do it either. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we have at least one student who's prosecuted, just to set an example.
Karen, are they more lenient, though, on kids when there's, like, parents force you to do something, even if you're 18?
I mean, that really doesn't that would be like saying my boyfriend really put pressure on me to, you know, steal the cell phone. I mean,
right, but parental pressure is, I feel like that there's some.
Yeah, does the law distinguish?
I mean, you would think, and maybe there's some sympathy there, but from a technical standpoint, that's not an excuse, and that doesn't really get to be considered. I mean, yeah, sure, I mean, sure, the prosecution is going to consider that, and the judge is going to consider that when you have two parents who are telling you that this is the right thing to do. But, you know, you're of age, and you have your own set of morality, morals and values, and you have to follow the law, too.
So, if I wanted to get into a private club and my slot in the private club was taken by somebody who gamed the system, I could take civil action against them, I'm sure, but it doesn't feel like there's a law broken there because it was a private club. These are private schools that we're talking about. So help us understand the law breaking part of this.
Well, even if they're private institutions, there's a process by which you gain admission, and that is an established admission process. You take tests. There are certain scores that they consider. They consider, you know, your grades and all these other things, athletic participation, all these things. So if you falsify those things, even though it's a private university, and even though they can have discretion on who they admit, they have to follow their own rules. And if they're following their own rules and there was false information given, that's a fraud. That's a fraud upon the organization, and that prevented you from getting in. So that's a crime. It's definitely a crime. It's honest services, they call it, and mail fraud. It's clearly something that's actionable.
How come we're not hearing more about the schools that were involved in this? I mean, there were people who worked at these schools, who were clearly complicit or directly involved.
No, I agree. And I think those are the most, I blame them the most, really. I mean, the guy who organized it obviously is the brain power of all of it. And he gained a lot of money by doing it. Parents, though, I mean, you can almost say they were just parents on steroids doing their thing. They were wrong. They clearly violated the law. But the people at the school who were charged with having a fair admissions process, who were there to caretake these children and to make them grow up into good adults, they're the ones who are most culpable, in my view, because they just really violated all of the duties that they were charged with. I think we're going to see more schools involved. I have heard rumors that there are some local schools in Chicago here that were involved. I'm not sure if any of that's true, but I think this is the tip of the iceberg.
Could you see kids being played against their parents by prosecutors?
I do. I think that, you know, I could see the kids being charged and the prosecutors saying, if you want us to drop charges against your kid, plead guilty to the crime that you committed. I definitely see that.
All right, let's come back and talk about the Mueller report coming out tomorrow and the White House threatening legal action on the release of Trump's taxes and everything else they could think of. Back to Karen Conte, Trump's taxes, this thing probably has to go to court, right? Because Congress appears to have the right and the precedent to ask for his tax returns. They can demand them from the IRS. So then what's the response from the White House or from Trump's personal attorneys?
Well, you know, they're going to fight it, and they've already said they're going to fight it. And, you know, basically we start with the idea that everyone's tax returns are private, and that makes a lot of sense. You don't want to weaponize tax returns in politics or otherwise. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. I think that's the first start. But there's a law that was passed in the 1920s that says that the Ways and Means Committee can ask the IRS for tax returns. And there's going to be a block, and it's going to go to court. There's probably going to be a subpoena. It could be that this goes on and on into the next election. It could be an election issue. I don't think it's going to move quickly, but I think there has to be some relation to what Congress is doing. And if there was an investigation for impeachment, let's say, that would be a stronger argument that they need it. But they're just saying, we want to see if our commander-in-chief is complying with the tax laws. And that's that's probably not the best argument for the tax returns, but it's going to be up to the court, and, you know, it's going to be really based upon who's sitting on what court that gets this case.
Well, what about suspicion of constant violation of the emoluments clause that he's using the presidency to profit and make money for his company?
Yeah, and you know, the Congress isn't really a criminal investigative body. So that may not be a good reason for the Congress to do it if it's a U.S. attorney or somebody else investigating it. You know, it's just very, very complicated, and there's not a lot of precedent on it. But I know I hear you, and I hear that I think a lot of people would like to know that. But just to, you know, get the tax returns because we think he might be doing something is probably not enough.
Well, and again, though, you know, let me beat my head against the wall one more time. You know who could fix this? Donald Trump. Release your tax returns. Again, you keep talking about how you got nothing to hide. Well, then prove it. You're the president, for crying out loud. I got to be careful how much I say now because he's calling in like 10 minutes. All right. What about the Mueller release, the redacted report being released tomorrow? Same argument here. Is there some action they can take there?
Yeah, and there's going to be some exceptions for things we're not going to see, like grand jury information, which is pretty substantive, and there's going to be national security issues, and then they're going to say that there's maybe ongoing criminal investigations, and therefore they're going to redact certain portions. And what I think is going to happen, there's going to be a subpoena issued by Congress for the rest of that stuff. I think Barr is going to withhold it. He could be held in contempt. It's going to go to court, and it's going to work its way through the court system, but I think eventually we will see some of this stuff, obviously not national security issued issues aside. We're going to see most of this, but I don't know if it's going to be very soon, to tell you the truth.
It's Karen Conti. How do we call you?
You can call me 312-332-7800 or email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
And on the radio Sunday night at what time?
From 7 to 9.
Thank you for the help.
All right. Have a great day.
Goodbye, counselor. We're back from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Mark Carman's here for Dave Ennett, and it just occurred to me, you never get a chance to say hi to the president, do you?
No, I don't, Steve. By the way,
call in any second if you want to say hi to him.
That's awesome. Can I ask you a question about that song? Does that go to your head? Like, if somebody, like, was just a Cochran Show, Cochran, like, I
you know the problem with all of DaCosta's music? DaCosta's music is so good that you end up forgetting what the original song was, and you're driving down the road or whatever, and you're singing the DaCosta version.
I mean, that's such a nice moment in time we just heard.
Yeah. Even the ones that aren't the one, like, you had a promo a couple years ago for a show you guys did at the Metropolis Theater.
Yeah.
And so whenever I hear Metropolis, his song is Metropolis, Metropolis.
Right.
Like, it plays in my head instantly.
Well, that's Bill Withers' Lovely Day, which is a great song. And I can't sing Lovely Day anymore.
Cochran Show.
And it's kind of idiotic for me to be in my car going, Cochran Show, Cochran Show.
I do it. I think it's great.
What are we hearing on Trump?
Is Lady Loser.
How about that for timing?
Lady Loser.
This is my ringtone.
Oh.
Lady Loser.
It's customized for when he calls.
Lady Loser.
It's very angry, Steve.
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran. I hope you had an amazing Monday avoiding your taxes. I, for one, filed another huge extension.
Yeah, not surprised. Hey, would you say hi to Mark Carman, who's filling in today?
Hi, Mark Carman. How are you?
President, good to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Have we pulled any pranks on the substitute, Cochran?
Well, we're working on it, sir. If you have any ideas, you do let me know.
Sounds like a loser.
Hey, listen, before we start, I just want to say a few words.
Look, can I say a few words?
What? Sure.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
You know, it's my interview.
Oh, yeah.
The Notre Dame Cathedral fire.
Right.
I think we ought to get this out of the way. Melania and I want to offer our condolences to the entire Quasimodo family. Just... You know, luckily they all escaped unharmed. The Hunchies are a tremendous, very hardy people, by the way. No, they really are. No. I mean, it's been a tough month for Notre Dame. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Their whole church burns down, and they didn't even make it to the Final Four.
Different one.
Frankly, those Irish are so unlucky. They really are.
Sir, if...
Hopefully that fire won't impact recruiting for next football season.
Yes, Mr.
Might
President.
Might help Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. We can just move on for a second. Let's
make the rest of this quick.
All right.
I'm starting to cut into executive time.
Right.
I've got Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 1 in the DVR queue ready to go.
Right.
No spoilers, Cochran.
Okay. The Mueller report's out tomorrow. Are you looking forward to seeing it when it comes out finally?
Yes, I will tell you, I am so excited. You have no idea. I can't wait till that comes out.
Sir, he's not talking about the new Avengers Endgame movie.
What? Oh, but you got to admit that, what a bigly franchise that movie. I mean, and Thanos, huh? Talk about huge hands, just like me.
Sir, you did mention the tax deadline. The Democratic candidates are releasing their taxes. Sanders
again
does,
with the taxes, yeah, Dr.
Sanders does 10, Beto does 10, Kamala Harris 15. Why don't you release 5 or 6?
You know what? They're giving me till the 23rd, Cochran. I don't have to say anything until then. Who the hell do they think they are, really? I mean, frankly, they have no idea what an incredibly complicated audit that I've been right in the middle of for the past 7 years.
7 years.
Look, my taxes are different than most people's taxes, okay? It's many, many pages long. It'd be a lot shorter if I didn't have such a successful right. business. And didn't have to claim my daughter Tiffany as a dependent. She's a huge tax burden, believe me.
It's a lot of big numbers, you know, and there's a lot of numbers.
Lots of number crunching.
Yeah. Listen, I mentioned Bernie Sanders. You see his town hall on Fox?
Crazy Bernie. You know, in all fairness, he's aged worse than most of my tweets, frankly. But miraculously, after the town hall, Bernie jumped ahead of creepy Uncle Joe Biden in the latest polls. He jumped ahead. But to be fair, Biden hasn't entered the race yet. But he's close. Like smelling the back of your head close.
That's unnecessary. This Pete Buttigieg is officially running for president. This kid's impressive. 37, openly gay, speaks 7 languages. What do you make of him?
No kidding. 37 years old. But I have unfiled tax returns that are older than him. Openly gay, too. Maybe I can have him talk to Jared about coming out. As for the languages thing, you know, it's not that impressive. You know, frankly, I speak a lot of languages, too.
Right.
I speak English, American, United Statesian, Canadian. I can say how much did you spend at Tiffany's in Slovenian.
Sure.
And I know the number system at the KFC drive-thru better than I know my own kids. Just ask my son, Brian. I can order anything by memory, believe me.
It's a Baron. Sir Baron.
Whatever.
Yeah. I want to get a comment from you about the AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said she supports impeaching you. What do you say to that?
Yeah, look, I really don't care what Alexander Graham Cotex has to say about me. You can never trust anybody with three names. Never trust them, Cochran. Right. They're serial killers. John Wayne Gacy, Son of Sam, Malcolm Jamal Warner.
No. He's not a serial killer. He was Theo on The Cosby Show.
Whatever. You know, he killed his career multiple times. Let's just say that. Same difference.
Hey, did you talk to Tiger Woods since he won the Masters Sunday?
Yes, I did. And he is so happy, Cochran. In fact, Tiger's feeling so good about himself now, he's finally thinking about cheating on his woman again. That I can tell you.
God, you're on today. So a Presidential Medal of Freedom for Tiger, is that really happening?
Yes, and in addition to the Presidential Medal, I'm signing an executive order that will make the Perkins Restaurant in Orlando, where Tiger used to go and hook up with that waitress, a national monument. Well, at least the parking lot.
That seems like a good use of tax dollars. What about Easter? What are you doing for Easter?
Oh, Easter. We have so many bigly traditions. And this year we're dressing Mike Pence up as a big pink bunny. And he's going to hop around the West Wing hiding Easter eggs filled with Hershey's Kisses and gift certificates for self-tanning. Isn't that right, Mike Pence?
You bet, my liege. I was just trying on the suit now. How do I look?
Bigly creepy.
Well, as you know, Easter bunnies don't wear pants.
Which might explain the creep factor. Look, go get me a Diet Coke, Mike. I will tell you, Cochran, Easter's such a fun holiday. Lots of special memories in the Trump family. I remember when my son Eric was a little guy, and he used to love to go around and eat all the little itty-bitty chocolate eggs from the bunny. The sad part is it was a real bunny, and those weren't really chocolate eggs. Nobody ever told him. Such a special kid.
Thanks for calling, sir. Your time is always very busy, and, you know, it's nice of you to call, and it's really appreciated, and thanks.
Sir, can you help me with the zipper?
Later, loser.
Is he talking to me or Pence? I just don't entirely know.
I'm pretty sure he's calling you the loser.
Did you know Malcolm Jamal Warner killed people?
I did not know that.
Know that.
I knew too. And the news about Jared is kind of breaking news as well.
Really? No kidding. 718, most valuable person on the planet, coming up. Stand by for that.
The Steve Cochran.
Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Quick texter, first, we may need to get new hats from the 616. You know, we have the Make America Vote Again hats. We may have to get hats that are M-A-M-S-G-A.
M-A-M-S-G-A. Okay.
Texter says, Steve, thanks for making the morning show great again. It's going to have to be a big hat, and it'll be very confusing.
Maybe it'll be like a winter knit cap where the letters can just go all the way around your head.
Exactly. This morning, our most valuable person on the planet is a regional winner of an adaptive PE award, working with kids who need a little extra help, and a very special person. And Super Joe, I think you may know this individual.
I do indeed. It's my Aunt Tara, Tara McCarthy.
Aunt Tara's on the phone. Good morning, Aunt Tara.
Good morning. How are you?
We are fine. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So how long have you been working in adaptive PE?
Well, I graduated in 99, so almost 19 years now.
And explain to folks what that is.
So adaptive PE is physical education, but modified for students with various disabilities. So students with autism, cerebral palsy, any number of physical or intellectual disabilities.
Well, as I've said on the show many times, my daughter works with kids with autism every day. And, you know, one of the challenges is, focus and things like that. So how do you get the kids to focus?
Well, that's very individualized. But for kids with autism, it's usually through visual schedules and forecasting and showing them visually what the expectations are in the environment, especially in PE. That's rather difficult because it's such a large environment. So individualizing that structure for them usually is the most important.
Now, Tara, you don't work at one school, right? You travel from school to school?
Yes. So I work for a cooperative case located in Glen Ellen. And so what happens is the schools ask for our full-time or some time of employment, and then they send us out to different schools. So currently in the last couple of years, I work for Carroll Stream School District 93. And what I do is travel in between all of their schools. So J Stream Middle School to a couple elementary buildings, Heritage Lakes, LC Johnson, Western Trails.
Wow.
So you got all your equipment in your car.
Yeah, you need Super Joe as a roadie. To get yourself in and out.
So frequently, we have a storage center for our equipment. So frequently, about once a week, I'm over there swapping out equipment and delivering it to the schools that need it.
What's your favorite thing to do with kids? Or is that individual as well, because you just like to see the growth?
Yeah. And my favorite thing is to get them, for my students in wheelchairs, I love to get them out of their chairs and see them stretch and move and get them down on the gym mat to play. And for my students with autism, I love to see that engagement with where you finally see that intellectual click where they finally get what you're asking them to do and they can feel that internally and they get excited. That's my favorite thing. Sports, I was a three-sport athlete, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not, like, my favorite thing. I just love working with the kids.
One of the things that Steve often asks is where people get their inspiration, and in the information we got from you, I think your story is pretty unique.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, teaching chose me, is what I like to say, but yeah, I've had many mentors along the way, many inspirational stories. Many people along the way that have helped to shape and form me into the person I am today.
Well, but also give yourself credit, Miss Modest, because, you know, a mom with MS and your own learning challenges growing up, I mean, that drives you in a particular direction, and you chose to help others.
Yeah, well, like I said, it you know, I am a firm believer of fate. So, you know, it was where I was supposed to be at the right time and the right people. You know, I frequently call my angels that kind of guided me in the right direction and helped me along the way. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for doing what you do every day. And
thank you.
It's extremely important. And just to see kids who have very limited physical movement get some physical movement and stretching, and the body loves it, and it's great for their body and their mind, and extremely important. So never take that for granted, the good you're doing all the time.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Now, thank you very much.
Now, Super Joe, it occurs to me that this is a member of your family who's, you know, we're doing really a lot of amazing good things for society, and yet you work on this show. So are you the biggest disappointment in your family, Joe?
That's a good question. I'd say, you know, of the massive amount of cousins that I have, I'd rank pretty high on that list.
You
of
would?
Disappointment, yep.
Well, you know, again, working in radio, you know, getting people to connected, you know, again, giving back to the community. It's all something we do in all different ways.
Wow, isn't it nice of Tara to stretch like that to try to find some way to make you feel better about working here, Joe?
She's the best.
So, you are the most valuable person on the planet. Thanks for being that.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And hold the line if you would.
And the MVPP is brought to us by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
Hey, when are we going to have, speaking of the producer's booth, Michael Heidemann come in here with more of his internet funds and the very important Michael Heidemann Corner, that hot new segment we're doing?
We could do it next.
Michael, are you prepared to be on the radio? Yes? Okay. I don't like our chances.
He gave us a thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Michael will join us next. He'll tell us what he found for ridiculous GoFundMe pages and crap that's available for you to buy on Amazon and other places. Hey, wedding gifts.
Oh, there we go.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm intimidated by Michael Heidemann. Guy's too nice, too good looking. It's very, all of it's a lot, Steve. Just want to get that out there. I want to be honest. It's my new thing.
I think, though, as you go on in the next few years, you'll come to a point where you just don't give a crap what people think.
That's possible.
It's coming.
Thanks, Steve.
It's 7:30. Get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Kickstart business. As strange as they can be. Stupid, silly product on Amazon and QVC. Heidemann does the research, finding things you didn't know. The service you get only on the Steve Cochran Show.
Another masterpiece from John DeCoste, musical director of the program. Michael Heidemann will enchant and delight us with crap he found on the internet in just a second. Before we get to that, Steve Grzanich informed me the viral moment of the day so far is a photo that some people claim shows Jesus in the middle of the fire on Monday at Notre Dame.
It is a photograph apparently taken by Getty that has the Getty logo on it. That
and this is a legitimate photo operation.
Yeah, well, I've searched the image a couple of times now, and I've come up with the same image without the circle in the middle of it that somebody's put in there. But they've the one that I've seen has a circle circled where they think they see the figure standing.
And I don't see it.
This is like one of those posters where we stare at it and you see if you can see the 3D image or not. You know,
except this is slightly more important.
Right. But I can see what they're saying is the Jesus. I'm not sure that it's Jesus, or if it's just, you know, like when you look up in a cloud and it kind of looks like something else, you know, that type of
thing. Well, I mean, I am of the belief system where I would like to think it was Jesus, and Jesus helped put out the fire to save the majority of the structure so that it could be rebuilt. However, I also don't see Jesus in my toast. You know,
potato chips
in other places.
Oh, I like how Grzanich and I said potato chip at the same time,
because that was a big story a couple of years ago.
I remember.
There were a couple of different potato chips, right?
So Grzanich, when I was pointing out what part is Jesus in the photo to mm-hmm. Steve Cochran, he said, "Oh, so he's standing there waving."
Well, he looked like he's facing away.
So my mom, who was very religious, I showed it to her this morning. The first thing she saw it immediately. She also says she sees a crown of thorns on his head as well. So.
Okay. Well, I go with Faye. Faye right. knows. Yeah. She knows things.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not mocking people. If you see it, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's 7:43. Here's the other thing I wanted to bring up before we get to crap on the internet. if your kid is making $2 million a year, which is about what Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannulli's daughter was making in her own internet business, by the time she's 18, you know whether or not she's college ready. Listen, I've seen a few of the videos. The kid's a dingbat. She's a Kardashian in waiting. She is somebody who is really good at what she's really good at. And to be able to find that at 17, 18, 19 years old is fairly miraculous. So the kid doesn't have to go to college. And to now be in a position where you may go to jail for years because of your ego, you put the kid through a college program she didn't want to be a part of to begin with. I mean, it's just flat crazy.
People get wrapped up in being smart, like, and it can be a total booby prize. Like, she's doing great. You don't have to be the smartest person
she's
in the room.
She's crushing it.
So we've discussed this. You know, we have a 15-year-old, and Pat was like, why didn't they just let Olivia keep doing her business? Why'd she have to go to college? And then I said, well, what if Catherine had a business going, and she was doing really well, and it's that time? What would you think? And he's like, ooh.
Well, I would have
you think
that.
You want your kids to go to college.
Not if she's making $2 million.
Yeah,
and you know, to have the
last.
That's what Pat said. He goes, yeah. You don't know. This could be a one, you know, this could be done in a year and a half, and then you should have gone to
so
college.
So you want
to
roll the dice and give up the $2 million a year business that maybe she'll have a 4-year degree that she might get a job with.
Well, she could also go to the college that she can get into.
Well, yeah. That's the other thing. You know, because I'm telling you, and it's not easy to say this about my kids are both they're very bright kids and Amy applied herself, Ross didn't, but they both got through college and Amy is doing great and Ross is doing great, so I'm lucky. However, at 18 years old, you know what your kid is likely capable of in college. I'm talking about academically. So maybe it's not a bad thing that your kid isn't college ready or isn't college. You know, one of the reasons to send a kid to college in California for an education or to have a good time. She was already doing the have a good time part, and she was making more money than she would ever make with a degree from USC. What's she going to get a degree in?
Right.
Social media influencing.
Yes. Yeah, already did it.
There's majors for that now, and public relations or whatever. Yeah.
So, you know, just the parents' ego is what's got them into this position. And by the way, Lori Loughlin appears to be, obviously we don't know, and Massimo Giannulli for that matter as well, good-looking people who have gotten their way the majority of their life and figured they could break the rules and it would be fine. That is my gross generalization of the day until I'm proven wrong. 7:46. Michael Heidemann's here. What do we decide we call this segment? Let's go ahead and turn your microphone on so we can hear you.
Oh, that's right. That's always important.
Yes.
I'm not really quite sure.
So Michael's Corner?
I've heard Michael's Corner before. That's been tossed around.
Heidemann's Helper?
Sounds just like a hammer.
Want me to play the theme song again?
Is there a title in there?
I don't think so. I just think it's awesome.
No, that's all right. We're okay. But when we come back, you have something you're going to share with us from the internet that is not a picture of Jesus or anything to do with Lori Loughlin. These are Kickstarter programs that, yes, you can be a part of that are complete nonsense. Mm-hmm. And some crap we could buy where? Amazon?
Yes, on Amazon. In fact, I was going to say, all these kids who are going to college and everything, and they're looking for direction, maybe they can get into engineering and help provide us with some of these products in the future.
Ah, look what you did there.
Yeah.
Thinking big.
I am.
Thinking big. just so you know, I am not going to put you through college.
Okay.
We'll put you through the application process.
Darn it.
Because I think you're doing great here.
Oh, thanks.
It's 7:47.
Heidemann does the research, finding things you didn't know. The service you get only on the Steve Cochran Show.
Michael Heidemann's crap he found on the internet. All right, Kickstarter is like GoFundMe. It's a place where you can say, I need money,
mm-hmm.
and I want to crowdfund it. I want people to send me money for very important things. There's people who can't pay their bills. There's people who are dealing with medical situations. There's people who've lost a home in a natural disaster. And then there's this idiot. I need to become famous to tick off my ex-girlfriends. Tell me more.
Well, this man, Scott Schaefer, from Indianapolis, actually, just right down the road, wanted to create an album to prove all of his ex-girlfriends wrong. He says that my exes probably dodged a bullet, but I thought music would make me rich and famous. Now, not only is he trying to make an album, his first album, which I'm sure would have been a hit, actually burnt up in an iPad or a laptop explosion or something like that.
So didn't now, have it on the cloud, huh?
Didn't have it on the cloud. So now he's asking to pledge $2,500 or more to back this project. And let me tell you, Steve, it's not really going very well for him at the moment.
Well, let me go to Vandeveld and Sandberg on this. When you were back in your dating days and you were dating a guy with a dream, you may have known there wasn't a shot that that dream could be realized. But was it cute? Was it something you would encourage?
No, I would not have. I didn't date anybody with a dream.
All right. Well, that covers it then. He needs $2,500. His explanation that Michael laid out so well even goes deeper. He said of the song and the material that he lost, I had planned on sending the new material to Danger Mouse and a few other industry people before my computer files went to cyber heaven. I'm very frustrated. So I took some time off.
Yeah.
That seems like a good idea when you got nothing going on. Take some time off.
Lofty goals. In fact, he asks, if somebody does pledge $2,500 or more, he goes, if I meet this goal from one person, let's go to Hooters and grab some wings together and watch some football. Then you can help me realize my dream. So he's setting the bar very high.
He has no backers. Not a single dollar has been pledged so far of the $2,500 that he hopes he will get. Now, moving on. How about the first ever all-pug production of Hamlet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amazing thing about this is $5,000 is his goal. He's already beyond it.
That's right. Well, you know, when some dreams get accomplished, you know, people can really back it. And I think that a lot of passion is shown through in Puglet, the first ever all-pug production of Hamlet. it's a great, great thing.
So he dresses up these little pug dogs like characters from Hamlet.
Yeah, that's.
And is there a narration or anything in the background, or do they just stand around wondering why they're wearing dresses?
You know, they don't really dive into that. There is a video, I think, that you can purchase. But everybody from Hamlet, even Gertrude, is going to be playing in this role. And if you pledge $100 or more for this, you get two tickets, a chance to pet all the pugs, and a video message from the pug playing Hamlet.
Five people have jumped in on that.
Mm-hmm. At $100 or more. I like that when he lays it out. For years, I've dreamed of mounting one of Shakespeare's most glorious works in with one of nature's most glorious creation, the pug. I think Puglet is a really cute name.
But he does sound like he's just messing with us and to see if the money would come in.
You don't know dog people.
Yeah,
I don't
suppose.
Think this. My sister was out of town this weekend. My parents had to take Biscuit to pictures with the Easter Bunny because he's gone every year of his life. And so she didn't want him to miss it because he'd be sad. But I'm pretty sure Biscuit doesn't care.
That's amazing.
No,
I like your sister very much. Is she within listening distance right now?
She is not.
What?
Yes.
That would be the question. What?
Yes, my parents had to take Biscuit to...
How does the bunny feel about
Tales
that?
In the City. I can show you guys the picture of Biscuit. The bunny seems pretty happy.
Yeah, until an accident happens.
Yeah.
Number three, by dedicating a beehive to a loved one that's been lost allows us to expand the bee population for the benefit of us all. What we know is that the bee population is dwindling, and bees are crucial to our ecosystem. So if you pledge money to this memorial beehive, you could dedicate a beehive to somebody that died. Hadn't thought of that before, and help the rest of us. How are they doing on this one?
They're doing pretty well. I think that they have $133 pledged of $1,305.
How is that good? How is that they're doing good. Pretty well?
They still got 33 days to go, though, so we've got some time on it. And it's like you said, it's there to help people, not only help the bee population, but to preserve your loved one in a way that, you know, makes things everything a little bit more sweeter.
And I might kick in for that one, Steve.
And they say you can do happy birthdays and celebrations as well. Oh. It's not just dead relatives.
Did you turn the page? You can get a memorial label, like Memorial Beehives Honey, and then it'll say Cherished Memories of Steve Cochran, Remembered Always.
Well, why'd you have to kill me?
Well, I'm just...
With a photo on the jar, too, which doesn't make it creepy at all.
No. No.
Bryden Hendry looks like he lived a long life.
Here's the question. Once you're done with the honey, do you keep the jar?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a good
what
question.
What do you put in there anyway?
Maybe the ashes from the urn?
Just, it all comes together.
This is a perfect. This next one is perfect for Steve.
Let's go to Amazon now for crap that's for sale on Amazon. All right, so what do you have?
So with the great popular hit of last time I did this segment here, we had the woman using the inhaler as a decal on your wall. Great for any college student. This time, it's a wall decal of senior citizens in a golf cart.
Who wants this?
Everybody. I mean, most of the Chicago land has been actually clamoring for this. I think it's very popular right now with all the Urban Outfitters.
Yeah. You know. I guarantee if you walked into a room, somebody's room, if you went over to Ross and Lauren's house and they've got a fat head of two senior citizens in a golf cart on their wall.
Have you met Lauren?
You are chuckling. I'm just saying, though, it's a conversation piece.
Next up, do I need a dog dryer?
Yes, you do, Steve. It's very, very important. It's very dog-heavy today on in the Michael Heidemann's crap segment.
That's another pug, too. That's a pug in that picture.
This looks like one of those sumo suits that people put on to make them super fat,
yeah.
And they run into each other.
Yeah.
So the dog puts on the sumo suit, and then you hook the hose up to your hairdryer.
That's pretty much what you do. It's kind of like a Martin Lawrence style sweatsuit for your dog. The best part is there's a couple different sizes depending on your dog. Small is $44, medium $49, and large for all those big pups, Labradors, and everything is $69.95.
So you can buy it now on Amazon. And by the way, much like when you dress up your dog will look at you like, "What the hell are you doing?"
I wonder because you attach the blow dryer to it to fill it up with the heated air. Uh-huh. If the dog would like that. That seems like a dog would not love that feeling.
No, because what will happen is the dog will resent you and kill you in your sleep.
And they actually have some listener reviews or user reviews, and it says, can you use two blow dryers? Yes. And can you use them on dogs? And it says, or children? And it says, only if your child is a Teen Wolf.
By the way, speaking of kids, when you have a baby, the baby spends a lot of time on the floor. And sometimes, you know, taking care of a baby will make you be in a position where you really can't keep up with what you need to do to keep your house clean.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's where the baby mop comes in into play. And this is not only very, very helpful, it makes your child look cool. So everybody from 0 to 5 years old, I'm guessing, can wear these pants, which actually double as a duster mop.
They are actually filled with duster. I don't know what you call the little things on a duster. But
like
basically
frilly things.
Yeah, the little duster things. But basically a ring of duster things, and the baby scoots its little butt on the floor and dusts.
They don't even know it, but they're gaining work ethic at an early age. I think that's important.
Just remember when you take the baby outside to take those pants off.
Yeah, that's important. Only $30, too.
They look a little bit like chaps.
Yeah, they do look like chaps.
Like mop
chaps. And the baby looks really happy. And you know what? Another user review says, good, clean, fun. 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, but then the baby is going, what the hell were you doing? When you show this kid pictures later on, and go, what kind of a parent are you?
And what if the baby has allergies? He's sneezing all over the place.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you when I was a kid, we didn't know I was allergic to cats? We had cats till I was 10 years old.
Really?
Yeah, and I had breathing issues, and my eyes were always watery.
And they were just like, what was it?
Between that
on?
And the four packs of cigarettes that my parents were smoking every day.
No wonder you need an inhaler now.
I want you to be alive. And finally, a woman with a pouch. What's the pouch for?
So the pouch, again, piggybacking on last time's great pizza pouch hoodie. This one is...
This hoodie, by the way, had a foil pocket that would keep your slice of pizza warm if you wanted to drop it in there, as opposed to, say, eating it where you are.
And I think that is...
If you were to get in an elevator, possibly with some pizza, and you had a pizza hoodie, you could have dropped it in your hoodie and not spilled it all over the elevator.
The carnage. Yeah. People are still talking. So this pouch, is it a belt, or does she have to buy the dress that has the pouch in it?
So I think it's built into the dress, actually.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
It's very helpful. It fits your cat, dog, or what's it? And in fact, I went on the WGN Radio fridge today, and guess what? It's Frank Fontana's birthday today.
Are you thinking about getting it for him?
And I'm thinking about getting it for him. I think he would really appreciate this.
Be a good idea. When you can't get enough of your cat, your creepy cat, or your tiny purse dog, you're going to be able to carry them with you at all times and be hands-free.
Yes, and only
$12.
Be able to
text, whatever, and it's $12. You know why? It's worth $12 if you're going to buy it. There you go. That's crap you can find on the internet from Michael Heidemann. It's crap you can find on the internet. It's 8:02. Dean's on the road this morning, but we'll talk to him coming up. But now it's news time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Live to the CineSpace studios, where pretty much every TV show in Chicago is shot in some form or another. And Dean's there pitching a Moron Entertainment series. How's that going?
I'm trying to get us a big TV show. I'm trying to run into Dick Wolf to see if he can start a new series called Chicago Morons.
I think that's perfect. You got Chicago PD. You got Chicago other stuff. Chicago Hope.
Now, what Chicago, are the Fire, Chicago Fire, Med, that's Chicago Med, Chicago Proctology.
Right, so why not Chicago Morons?
Right. So it's pretty cool. Have you ever been here? Have you ever come here?
I have, actually. Yeah, it's you could very easily pick that up, put it in Burbank.
It is the second largest TV and movie studio in America right now.
Yep.
Started off very small just about 8 years ago. And now there are 32 stages here, and it's 1.5 million square feet of studio space where all these TV shows are shot. Many motion pictures are shot. We're in the workshop right now where the carpenters build all the sets and things like that. There are a lot of jobs, a lot of income and money for the city of Chicago that is generated out of this Chicago CineSpace. It's quite an amazing place.
And a good group that started it, by the way, as well. The thing is that the politicians have to keep in mind that when Chicago was the epicenter for non-Hollywood production of movies and TV shows, we had a lot of tax dollars coming in. And I don't know if you heard, Dean, we need money.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is if the state of Illinois is smart, they would get their incentives back up and running again. Because we've got all the facilities here now, we've got all the the people who can do all of this now, and it's just not money that's created just from the making of these TV shows and these motion pictures, but it's the hospitality industry, it's food, it's beverage, it's the hotel industry. I mean, there are a lot of people that are affected by all of this. It's very cool. I've been on a lot of studio lots out in California mostly, and this is as complex and as vital as Universal, Paramount. Go down the list of any of the lots that I've been on.
Sure.
This is a very vibrant place. They're shooting the final episodes of the season for Chicago Fire this morning, so we haven't run into anybody yet, but we're going to head down that way.
Well, be careful, because you know how starstruck you get, so be careful.
Dean, is there any craft services over there at CineSpace?
Oh, yeah, big time. There's craft services set up everywhere, which is, where they set up enormous tables of food and beverages, and so the spoiled brat actors, can have, food and beverages while they're shooting during the day. Yeah, that stuff is every place. There's no shortage of food and snacks and stuff. I've ordered Brandy Alexander's for my entire crew.
Oh, that seems right.
Yeah.
Not a lot of show business news that I've noticed anyway, Dean, but Lori Loughlin's daughter Bella has deleted her Instagram, so we're all on pins and needles about that.
Oh, no, that cannot possibly be. That's terrible. Terrible.
That's what I'm saying. But we had
I haven't heard that. Actually, there's one big story that broke overnight, and that is that Netflix released the Beyonce documentary that was shot at Coachella last year.
Okay.
This is a pretty big deal that this motion picture documentary is now available on Netflix as we speak, but they also dropped a double live Beyonce album overnight as well, which was recorded at Coachella last year. It's basically Beyonce's greatest hits with some new material, but lots of her old great songs. And that's been released on her husband's streaming service, Tidal. So if anyone's interested in some new Beyonce material. Both of those things are available.
So this morning's text question was because Sandberg lost her mind because she left her wedding rings home, allegedly accidentally. I say it's because she's romantically linked to Cup. But she says no. In the meantime, the question, what do you feel naked about when you leave the house? Eyeglasses, deodorant, dentures, these are the type of things that are coming in. 815 says my Preparation H. These are all the things they don't want to leave their house with. Dean, what I said is my phone. I leave the house without my phone. I got to go back.
That is the absolute first thing I thought of when you said that. At times where I've either lost my phone or just, you know, forgot to bring it with me, and I panic if I don't have it with me. And then after about an hour, I go, wow, well, this is kind of nice.
Right.
No one's bothered me in an hour. Nobody is.
I haven't bothered anyone.
Yeah. It's actually kind of pleasant. But yeah, I think the phone cuts it for me.
And number two would be pants. I always feel naked when I leave the house without pants.
Because you are naked when you don't have pants.
Wait a second. Let me write that down. That would make a lot more sense. So, yeah. All right, you got to go do TV.
I do have to go do some TV, but we'll. Steve, we'll talk again tomorrow.
Well, you'll let me know later today if Chicago Morons has got any traction.
I'm pitching the people here at Chicago CineSpace for you and I to have our own sitcom. I would like to do a sitcom. I don't know if I want to do a heavy drama. That seems like a lot of work to me. But I think something called Chicago Morons would be good.
Yeah, and Carmen has volunteered to be the cute neighbor kid, the precocious cute neighbor kid.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'm there for
That'd
you, Dean.
Be good.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Yeah.
That's Dean Richards live at CineSpace, which really is. He's not kidding. It's really an amazing facility.
And he left off that, you know, it's a Greek person that runs that. Like,
yeah, he didn't bite, did he?
No, he didn't. And also, that Beyonce performance at Coachella last year was like the performance heard around the world. It is like the most impactful thing.
So Beyonce ever? The most Beyonce?
Yeah, it was just very, yes, it's important in that line of, so getting it dropped is a big deal. I bet it's going to get some records as views for Netflix.
You a Beyonce fan, Carmen?
I don't mess with Queen Bee, Steve.
Yeah, she's great.
Look at Mark, Queen Bee.
She's great.
The most loyal fans on the planet, the Queen Bee fans. They will come at you.
Barry Manilow's fans are pretty loyal.
Really?
Yeah, they're dangerous.
Manilow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see Hoda adopted another baby?
I did.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was nice. Very nice. She and her husband, I think, are north of 50, aren't they?
Yeah. She's 54.
Yeah, and her husband, I think, is 102 or something.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Probably a little higher than he is. 820, we'll do a romantic check-in with Carmen as he continues to plan his wedding.
Well.
We'll do that in just a second. When is Chelsea going to come in?
Whenever you want, Steve. Huge fan of the show. I've told you this.
Well, it's been an open-ended invitation.
Okay.
So
let's lock that down.
One of the mornings you're filling in for Enid just surprised me and never come in.
Okay.
And I think y'all should bring like free samples of cakes, and you know, when you start doing those tasting things, we should be included.
That's
in
a
that.
Good point. Steve, you know who'd be great for you? Steve Grzanich at any tasting.
Right.
He always has the food angle.
And he would try everything.
I would. At least a bite of everything.
Right.
I try to live my life as much like Steve as possible.
I don't think that sentence has ever been said before.
No, it hasn't. Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Forever could never be long enough for me. Feel like I've had long enough with you.
What music have you chosen, Mark Carmen, for your wedding?
Get the world now.
Good question, Steve. I actually did put some songs down. Can't really remember what I did.
Well, don't you have songs that mean a lot to you? Like, I think your first dance together should be Brick House by the Commodores.
No? That's not bad. I was thinking about, I like the songs before the ceremony, when everyone's walking in.
That's important stuff, the walk-up music.
Yeah, they set the scene, not before like anybody comes, you know, when the guests are kind of, I always like to.
Well, like John Smoltz, I think, used Enter Sandman. Would you do that?
That's not bad. I mean, let's be honest. I want the Bulls intro going on here. Get some Alan Parsons Project. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
No.
The two of you walk into this?
No.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding? See, I see your wedding as being fun.
I'm just not that cool, Steve.
I will say this song does not mean fun.
So what are you talking about? Of course it means fun.
It just sounds dated. It doesn't sound fun.
Oh, please. It's Brick House. It's a classic.
Like, if you want fun, you know, go YMCA or something a little more interactive.
No, Brick House is clearly not. Don't understand funk. All right, so you have discussed music. You're either not willing to tell us or you don't remember.
Well, I got all the sentimental stuff going on, Steve. You're in a different...
Are you a big sappy guy like me?
I'm a little sappy.
Yeah, I am too.
I got a Mark Knopfler, All That Matters. It's really sweet.
That's a good song.
Yeah. I've got...
And I'm not really a Dire Straits fan.
How about In My Life, a little... you know, a little Beatles action? Come on.
Yeah.
That always brings the house down, right? You're sitting there waiting for the wedding, get a tear in the eye.
How about Nielsen, Can't Live?
I need to hear it.
I can't live if living is without you.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get too over the top here.
And who did What Am I Getting Myself Into? Wasn't that a hit for a while, too?
Can you sing that for a second? Sing it.
Well, that's not really a song.
I don't know how to.
Just made it up. What Am I Getting Myself Into?
Oh, I get it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I get some. What about some Hall & Oates, perhaps?
Maneater?
Maneater would be good. She's a rich girl.
Yeah, yeah.
That type of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think that would help you. Probably all right, not. So the order of events here to figure stuff out is you got the venue.
Got the venue.
Okay. You've got a date.
Got a date.
What comes after that? Flowers? Catering? What comes next?
Sam, we have slightly discussed the flower situation. I'm pro fake flowers myself. I like a good fake flower.
Because they're cheaper?
Right.
Okay.
He's not going to win that argument, I can tell you that.
Why can't you have strategically placed real flowers, like one bouquet of roses and everything else is fake?
There we go. Good idea, Steve. That's why I came in today.
Right? No?
I don't think that's
doesn't work?
Lie. No.
I wonder if anybody does that. Though.
They're not having fake flowers at the venue.
I think it's a pretty spiffy idea.
We can have some fake flowers.
And what is the big discussion after that? Because obviously she's going to pick her dress and she and her bridesmaids. How many bridesmaids? 50? 60?
I think we might be doing the just family situation, very small bridal party.
And me, of course.
She's right. Got two sisters, right?
Two sisters.
And you've got just a brother?
I've got two brothers.
Oh, that works. The numbers work.
Yeah, she's got a brother, too, so get him going.
What's he going to do?
I don't know.
He's an odd man.
I'll throw a cousin in there, okay, something.
Just to pair it up.
Why can't somebody walk down the aisle solo? I'd like to walk down the aisle solo. I've been thinking about that. Just make it all about me.
Pretty sure you're going to be up front.
right there. Why can't I walk in, the crowd rises, right down, and I just high-five everyone, and then everyone goes home.
And Chelsea will walk in with her mom and dad, right?
Yeah, yes, sure.
I think the thing you really need to wrap your head around is that this day needs to be about her.
Can't get there, Steve.
And if you start stealing thunder with stuff like this, you're going to be in trouble.
Not really worried about that.
I think you are.
Well, maybe deep down, but right now, that sounds like fun.
Are you guys taking a honeymoon?
At some point, yes. Yeah. So I'm thinking about the, we're getting married in November, so, I mean, the Australian Open is in January.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right?
That is perfect.
Well, here's the thing.
Honeymoon.
You're shacking up for all this time. Why do you need a honeymoon even?
Oh, come on. We need a vacation here, Steve. We're working hard.
Hey, did you decide on the late night food?
We're bringing in Superdog, and we got the gelato. Yes. Just going to get everybody nice and well.
And what are people eating? And by the way, the dinner?
Yeah.
What time's the wedding?
I don't know about the time, Steve. It's Saturday night. What time do those
things? Just remember, you got old people coming to this thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not talking about me. You got old people coming to this thing. They want to eat, and they want to leave. So you make sure you got the food for them.
See, that's what I'm getting from the wedding planner. Like, because I don't know if we're doing the whole rehearsal thing. So I want speeches at the weddings. You can't do the speeches at the wedding. Everybody will want to leave. Everybody
keep them short.
See, I don't care about Mary in the crowd wanting a short thing.
It's your wedding.
I want
speeches.
I want long, detailed.
But you're a basketball guy. Why not have a shot clock? You know, it just goes down and then a buzzer goes off if
they're
not done.
As long as you give people something to snack on while these speeches are happening, there's no problem. There's, or drink.
You got to get to the dinner, man. You got to get to the dinner for the old people. You're going to have bitter old people on your hands.
There's booze. There's food.
Okay. Have I been wrong about anything else?
You've been wrong about all of it.
No, I haven't. Not a single thing. I've not been wrong about anything related to this wedding.
We're thinking about getting some, you know, it's Thanksgiving weekend, Steve. Why can't we do a little, like a...
Leftovers?
Yeah, right.
Oh, there you go.
I'll save some money. Everybody brings Tupperware filled with leftovers from their meal.
I know Steve Grzanich loves those after Thanksgiving turkey sandwiches with the cranberry, you know, when it's all piled into one
sandwich.
Sure.
Uh-huh. It's another great thing that Steve Grzanich
Grandma's
does.
Thanksgiving sandwiches.
That would be fantastic.
Right?
Yeah. So, what's the regular meal? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean, I just vetoed the Sunday. I really don't know what we're doing as far as the food. I'm sure there will be a multiple salmon, beef, something, option, chicken.
But she played you like a fiddle because she let you win one argument. You told us this earlier. What was the argument you won?
I won that...
No Sunday bar.
No Sunday bar. We were given this Sunday
bar.
She
doesn't care about that.
Yeah, no, she didn't care at all. So I didn't really even win. And now
she just wanted you to know that... Right. She wanted you to feel like you would actually, had some say in all of this.
I mean, I just want like one of my friends doing the photography. I don't need some big photographer.
Okay,
coming.
That's not happening. That's
you mean like one guy with one phone, that kind of thing?
Right. Why can't Why can't Steve Grzanich come and take the photos? You can.
Especially if I'm doing the wedding.
When you have a good phone, and you got to have a good phone, the 10X or whatever it is.
Texter's chiming in, 630, the marriage is doomed. Run, Chelsea, run.
I mean, how often do people really look at their wedding photos? When's the last time you looked at them, Mary?
I don't, but I didn't. I'm not the right person to ask that.
Really?
There's a lot of people that look at their stuff, and they have them displayed. I don't have any displayed. I don't look at pictures.
I have my son and daughter's wedding on Shutterfly books.
The grandparents.
On the table, because I had my grandparents' books, and they come over and look at them.
Well, that's nice.
You should crowdsource the photography. Have everybody take pictures with their own phones and then send you those pictures.
You should definitely do that anyway.
Great idea. Yeah. Love that idea.
Texture says, got to have John Legend, All of Me. That's a great love song. Is the duck going to have a place in the ceremony? One of the texters are asking.
Arnold is most definitely involved. He's going to be straight. He's going to be hanging from the huppah. People know what a huppah
is.
Cute.
Well, explain.
It's kind of like a tent-like thing that you stand under when you get married. There's four poles. Maybe you have some people standing at each pole surrounding you.
It's like a canopy, kind of. Yeah. It's a pretty canopy. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the... I'm trying to have many cultures represented in the ceremony, but that's part of the Jewish thing.
All the world's major religions be represented?
We got to get some Buddhism in here, Steve. Come on.
815, friend of mine and her husband had a sports-themed wedding reception. Each table was the number and jersey of a notable Chicago athlete. Table 23, Michael Jordan. 88, Patrick Kane. The bridal party entered to the Alan Parsons Project, but the bride and groom... came in to Chelsea Dagger, as there were Blackhawk fans among the teams. That's a fun wedding.
That's awesome.
You're not getting that. Chelsea's not going to let you do that.
No chance.
No. Yeah.
No, she's my...
I used to come to Blackhawk games with my father. I loved it. I loved the camaraderie, the electricity of a big night in the city. In a way, everything I know about life, I learned from my father watching the Blackhawks. It can all be summed up in two words, two simple words that ring over and over in my memory.
Detroit sucks!
I mean, you can't argue with that. Jeremy Piven is doing an evening of stand-up comedy Friday, August 9th at the Vic. And tickets go on sale, is it today? Yeah, it's tomorrow.
No, Friday. Today's only Wednesday.
What day is it today?
Tickets go on sale to the general public on Friday, April 19th.
What's today? Is today Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday.
So tomorrow will be Thursday?
Yes. And I've been messed up. I almost rolled my trash cans out last night, but our trash night, you put them out on Wednesday night, and I thought yesterday was Wednesday as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably throwing you off.
No, I think it's me. Jeremy Piven was scheduled to be on at this time. He hasn't called. Do we know where he is?
I do not know where he is, but there is a pre-sale taking place on Wednesday, April 17th, starting at 10 a.m., and ends tomorrow at 12 p.m. And there's a code word GLOBE, G-L-O-B-E.
So you can get in on the presale.
Oh, I think I saw that. Yeah. And while we're waiting for Jeremy, I want to give away a pair of tickets to the seventh caller.
Do you have clearance for this?
I do have clearance. So a lucky winner that wants to see Jeremy do stand up, it's 312-981-7200, seventh caller.
312-981-7200 is Jeremy Piven. Joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Piven. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys feeling?
We're doing great. We're doing great. And by the way, before I forget, hi to your mom. She's a semi-regular listener, and we love her, and she's done amazing things for theater in this town, as you know.
Yes, Joyce Piven listens. I listen for many different reasons. I would even walk past you guys as you're broadcasting there on Michigan Avenue and stare at you. Until you welcomed me in, and it was fantastic.
It happened a couple of times in the afternoon. I called security, and they said, no, let him in.
You guys are always welcoming, man. I mean, to be able to come home to Chicago, I can't even tell you how excited I am to do this.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's the dream. It's the dream, and people don't really know about my stand-up or the journey, and And I would love to bore you with it if you have 11 seconds.
Well, actually, that's right, because people obviously think of you as the great actor that you are, but you've done just about everything in show business, and it takes a lot of guts to do stand-up, and I have nothing but respect for the fact that you dove in and you caught the bug.
You know what? I don't have any guts. I have just pure stupidity, and I'm also very delusional. You know, because I know that I'm young, black, and gifted.
Well, of course you are.
That shows you how delusional I am. No, when I say I'm delusional, I mean that in terms of, you know, growing up at Evanston and then living in Chicago and performing at Second City and coming from a sketch comedy background and doing shows like Entourage where I'm, you know, trying to get my own dialogue in the show and whatnot and trying to find the best place and time to do it has been the thrill of my life. And now to be doing stand-up where I'm writing the whole show and it rests on me. I either thrive or bomb based on my comedy and everything that's coming from me. And so it's insanely challenging, and I'm addicted. You're absolutely right.
So have you eaten it yet? Eating it for kids that haven't played the game is you go up on stage and you don't give laughs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'll never forget the first time that happened. A little dive bar, which I was told is the heaviest lifting in the country. And, you know, I'm just so ridiculous that I thought that I could navigate it, and I didn't. And I walked out of there thinking, not only was I not funny, but maybe I've never been funny, ever.
It's a punch in the gut.
You start questioning everything, and that's when you grow, and that's when you go deeper and try to write better material, and then the comedy gods help you out, and the next time you get up on stage, it usually works out really well right after you bomb, and that's how you get better. And I can't wait to. I'm going to be performing at the Vic, which you guys know well. And
tickets are on sale Friday.
Yes, you know what? I thought they went on sale today. I could be totally wrong.
Well, there's a pre-sale, Jeremy.
Yeah, we got a super secret
pre-sale, and you need a code word GLOBE, GLOBE, starting today at 10 until noon tomorrow, and then official. Everybody, general public, can get them on Friday.
You know, the regular people.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that you guys know so much more than I do. It's genius. Do you know what number or where is their website?
Yeah, you can go to ticketfly.com or you can go to 877-987-6487 if you want to get tickets.
That's amazing. And what I'll be doing, because it's my hometown, is sticking around afterwards and taking pictures with people.
Cool. That's great. That's
probably cool. Until they kick me out. Just because there is no place like home. There isn't. And, you know, when I look at my entire schedule, there's nothing that makes me more excited than going back to Chicago, seeing Cubs game, getting ready for the Bears and the Blackhawks, and nothing's better.
You're going to shoot this for a possible special? Because that's where you're headed, you know.
Well, thank you. From your mouth to God's ears. I have been shooting my entire... This, you're the first person I'm telling this to. I've been shooting the entire journey because I just thought, you know, anyone that's stupid enough to try to attempt stand-up needs to document it for the world to see, you know?
Yeah, it's very true.
And so I've got this great director of photography that... with this brilliant camera and a crew, and we've just been, you know, documenting the truth. What's it like to walk through this and to see a guy that you know and may have a reference for as an actor, but you've never seen him do stand-up, and you see him fail and hopefully thrive and learn. And I think the most important thing is that, you know, that I've learned, that people can learn, is no matter where you are or how much you've evolved in any arena, you can learn so much, and if you put your ego aside and you're curious, you can only grow and get better, and that's what this is about. And, you know, my stand-up is stand-up. It's not an evening with Jeremy Piven, a Q&A,
right,
a screening.
With clips.
Yeah, a victory lap, or running out the time. You know, nothing like that. It's pure stand-up, and it's a tribute also to Second City, Chicago, you know, and all the theaters there, because, and the people, because, you know, everyone wonders why do so many great actors and performers come out of Chicago. And one of the biggest variables is people show up and the community rallies behind the arts. And so you could be at a, performing at a, in a 99-seat house, you know, a black box,
sure,
and people are going to show up. And so we've logged the hours, and so we're ready.
Well, here's the thing, too, that people need to know, because a lot of people will go, well, look, Jeremy's a big star. How hard could it be? He'll go out, he'll get the celebrity laughs. Here's what people don't understand. You get celebrity applause when you're introduced, because everybody goes, well, how cool is that? That's Jeremy Piven. And then guess what? That's when it starts. You got to be funny.
Yeah, and to be honest, I love that pressure, because it's really up to you in that moment. And you know what? They'll maybe give you, I would say realistically, they'll give you 30 seconds
right,
or a minute.
Right.
And they'll give you some courtesy laughs and some chuckles, and then you gotta do it. And it's sometimes, you know, even harder if I remember a club owner said, are you going to be okay disappointing the audience? And I said, I don't understand what you mean. He said, well, they're going to have a reference for you as an actor, and if you don't exceed that, they're going to be disappointed. And I said, I don't want anyone to come and see me. I don't want to disappoint anyone.
Sure.
And, you know, when I grew up in Evanston at the Piven Theater, you know, one of the things my parents instilled is you have to respect the space you occupy when you perform. And so if, you know, when we get off the phone, I'm going back to writing. And yes, there will be a special, but only when I think it's kind of the best version of That's everything great. I'm working on. And, you know, to come from the Chicago stages where I've done all the drama and the comedy and the sketch comedy and all this stuff. So I go in and out of characters. I'm telling stories. It's straight observational stand-up. So it's kind of a little bit of everything, but it is straight stand-up. And I'm working with the audience. And I just got to tell you, you know, I never would have guessed this is where I would be ever. But all roads, in a weird way, lead to stand-up, because everything informs that performance. And I recently just finished a movie in Bulgaria, and I thought, oh, man, I'm rusty, because I did about 250 shows last year as a stand-up. I've never gone this long without being in front of a camera,
sure,
about a year and a half. And one form informs the other, you know, and that's the great thing, is that, like, when any of us go and do another job and come back to another job, it can only get better, because you're gaining experiences and insights. So,
no, I totally agree. And by the way, I've got a hook for you, for free, from your friend Steve. Lloyd needs to be in the audience to heckle you. Is payback for all the years on Entourage. Nobody sees him come in. He sits up front and he starts blasting you. The place would be up for grabs.
How genius would that be?
Be fantastic.
If he was just like, Ari, no one's buying this. It's terrible. Okay? Listen, Ari, you're viciously mediocre.
I'm telling you. Fun night. And by the way, it's Friday, August 9th at the Vic. Tickets on sale for the general public on Friday, but you can get in early. Pre-sale available today with the word GLOBE, G-L-O-B-E. We just gave away a pair of tickets. We'll get a name on that in just a second. Thanks for that, and go to ticketfly.com.
That would be Bill.
Bill won.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what? You know, it'd be great. I really want to make sure you guys get a couple tickets. I'd love for you to come.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
And then you know, we get a chance to tell the listeners what you thought.
You bet.
And have fun, and we'll hang out afterwards. And I'd almost like to call in again before I get up, because it's pretty far away. August is, you know, the Cubs will have won 100 games by August.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while.
You know what? You're exactly right, and you're always welcome here. All right, man, hold on, and keep killing it. August 9th, Friday night at the Vic. Again, GLOBE is GLOBE at ticketfly.com, or 877-987-6487. And now...
It's good, Steve. It's good.
Starting a groom. That's the suggested walk-up music from Mark Carman to his lovely fiancée, Chelsea. Who's not scheduled to veto that until she talks to him.
Wait, you know that yesterday...
You need Gene Honda to do it, right?
I'd actually go old school Tommy Edwards.
Oh, okay.
You know, get that look going on.
you know, 32 years ago yesterday, Jordan was 24 and he had 61 against the Hawks, scored 23 in a row.
You know, it's funny you say that because 32 years ago yesterday, I was 26 and I have no idea what I was doing.
But you were amazing, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
You were getting
exactly
it done.
Right. It's 8:58, and we'll come back in the 9 o'clock hour with friends of mine from Cal's Angels, a great organization that I always like to help promote. And Ro Khan will be with us. He in studio today?
I'm not sure. He hasn't answered me on that one.
Okay. And in the meantime, what do you want to add?
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Still trying to help Carmen plan his wedding. Texter from the 815 says, "You are so beautiful to me" ought to be your first song. And if you're going to do that, you got to do the Joe Cocker version.
Yeah, I don't think that's really an option, Steve.
You don't like it?
Well, I mean, that's...
You're more of a Taylor Swift guy. You're more of a Swifty.
It's not really the focus at the start there.
Well, right? How beautiful your wife is?
Yeah, I don't know if that's really the focus.
What are you talking about?
Right where we're starting.
Oh.
I mean, where am I in that equation?
Right where you should be, not mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
All right, so we're going to continue to try to help Mark plan his wedding. And, of course, job number one is to shut up and let Chelsea plan their wedding.
No.
As we continue. By the way, a texter brought this up a little while ago. I think everybody's aware of this, but if you're not, there is a very dangerous situation going on in the greater Denver, Colorado area. Saturday is the 20th anniversary of Columbine. And an 18, was she 18? I believe she's 18. An 18-year-old, out-of-state 18-year-old, showed up in Colorado on Monday night. She is said to have had a long-time fascination with Columbine. And Steve, fill in any gaps I'm missing here. But this fascination with Columbine led to her leaving, going to Colorado. She bought a pump-action shotgun on Monday night, and the threats continued. The authorities there say they are credible and significant threats. They basically closed down every school in the Denver area.
Almost every school in Colorado. The number of schools that are closed constitutes about 60% of students in the entire state of Colorado that are out of class today.
And as of now, they still haven't found this woman.
No, they haven't. And they even say that you just shouldn't confront her if you see her, that she's that dangerous, armed and dangerous, is what they're saying. If you come across her, just call 911.
Texter brought up a point. How do you show up in another state and buy a shotgun without a waiting period and without an ID? Here are the steps to buying a gun in Colorado, which may be key to the story. You got to be 18 or over and provide a Colorado ID, which, of course, she could have a fake ID, and have a background check conducted by a licensed firearms dealer. Now, she could be crazy and still pass a background check. This is why when people who legitimately support the Second Amendment but don't understand or want to fight about whether or not we need new laws, we need to tie up the laws we have. And yes, we need a few new laws to fix the loopholes in the laws we have so that people like this can't have. You should never be able, and this goes to the private sale argument, Steve. You can go to a private sale individual in Colorado and, you know, I sell you the gun. And then I'm supposed to submit you for a background check before I turn the gun over. But nobody's checking on that. So the idea that she got a shotgun is not shocking at all.
You know, and to me, the most shocking thing about it is that this is a woman who is doing this threatening. You could ask any FBI agent or profiler who does this stuff for a living, and women and gun violence generally are not together. It's generally not something that women do when they resort to violence, to even think of a mass shooting, too. I mean, you're hard-pressed to find any woman that has ever done something like that. So that's
right.
The other twist to all of this.
And she's a kid.
18 years old, yeah.
Have we heard anything about her family?
No, I mean, there's very little that we've actually seen about her. I mean, they're just trying to get her picture out there, also trying to kind of get, you know, these schools in a situation where they're safe. And that's taking a lot of manpower on its own. I mean, you can imagine having to close down all these schools, and they had to lock them down yesterday. So, I mean, we're just sort of, you know, basically waiting for them to release more information and do some more investigating. And how they're searching for this woman, who knows? I mean, did they send an alert to every police station, police department in Colorado? Are there road signs that have, you know, information lit up over the expressways and stuff? I'm sure all of that's being done in Colorado.
And to tell you how the world has changed from the standpoint of what life was to what life is. Prior to Columbine 20 years ago, can anybody name a school shooting other than the one that happened here at an elementary school?
With Lori Dan?
Yeah.
And prior to that, the guy in the 60s who climbed the tower at the University of Texas and started shooting at people?
I cannot.
Steve, you'd have to do a quick Google search, but the amount of school shootings we've had in the last 20 years is in the hundreds, may even be in the thousands.
Yeah, and I remember the Laurie Dan shooting. That was the first so-called mass school shooting, I believe, in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was 1988.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was sent home from Ravinia School at the time.
I just had my daughter. I was in the hospital. I had her the day before, and I was just crying my eyes out watching all the Laurie Dan stuff.
See if you can find that number, because it's shocking, and people need to wrap their heads around it. Texas says most states have different rules for long guns, like a shotgun. Not in Colorado. Same rules. Handgun, shotgun, same thing. So a major failure there, and all you can do is hope that the authorities are able to find this person. They're searching every inch of Colorado to find her before she does damage to anybody, including herself.
Just a real quick search of turned up 288 school shootings in the United States since 2009.
That's since 2009.
2009.
So that's 10 years ago, not 20. So let's stop fighting about, taking gun rights away from people. And everybody who fully supports the Second Amendment understands the best way to ensure your rights continue is to support sensible changes in the laws that aren't getting it done now. Thanks for that, Steve. It's 9:17. We're going to switch gears and talk about something good news with a friend of mine in just a second who is doing it's an amazing job with an organization we've talked about on the show before. Cal's Angels in a second. Stacey Sutter's here. Stacey, when was the first time I described you as your own weather pattern? Can't stop her. Weather just happens. Stacey just happens. And you don't say no to her. Cal's Angels is an organization that Stacey wishes she had never had to be a part of. Cal was your son at 13?
Yes, my stepson. He passed away at 13.
At 13 years old. And an incredibly brave kid. And this organization is a legacy to him and his memory. And all the things you've done are just nothing short of amazing. So I salute you as always.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Nice to see you.
You look handsome and thin as ever.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's hard to be sexy. You know that. But let's talk about what you do at Cal's before we get to what's coming up at Cal's. What is the premise of the organization?
We not only grant wishes, raise awareness, and fund research for pediatric cancer children anywhere in Chicagoland. We would love to give anybody a wish who's been diagnosed in the last year, but recently we took on awareness, and now we are funding clinical trials. So lots of good stuff is happening.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of money to be raised to do that. So there's a lot of generous people out there who show up and help and contribute. You do a cool thing every Christmas.
Yes.
Where people, and I've done this, where people are able to remember there are siblings at the home of a child that's sick who kind of get lost in the sauce a little bit, nobody's fault, and you make sure that everybody has a Christmas.
Yes, we do. Those are for the children who are like in a precarious situation at the time. It's physician referred, and we go and we take care of the entire holiday from Christmas dinner to gifts wrapped. So the parents don't have to worry about that. And most importantly, siblings are not forgotten. And yes, Steve and your wonderful son, Ross, delivered a few years back to the wonderful Chase, who we all love.
And Chase has got to be, what, about 35 now?
Oh, gosh. He celebrated his 9th birthday.
Yeah. And by the way, that was the key word in that sentence. He celebrated his 9th birthday. Mm-hmm. So yes. He's doing great.
He's doing well. There's been some hurdles because of where we are in treatment.
Sure.
He's had some things, you know, that keep rearing their ugly head.
But he's a fighter.
But he's here. He's here, and the whole family is, you know, incredibly thankful for that, as are we. We adore him.
All right. Now, you talked about clinical trials and research and things of that nature. What progress are we making in pediatric cancers? I mean, I know it's slow.
Very slow.
Right.
Much slower than I would ever have liked. But the difference between research and a clinical trial comes down to accountability. Research tends to be just throwing the dollars down into a black hole, if you will. That's
right.
Kind of what Cal's father, Tom, and I always say, where Cal's Angels believes in clinical trials, where there's an accountability. The money is directed specifically to what they are going to try to uncover, if you will. So
it's
we're
a
in
goal
the
for the dollars. It's not, here's a general fund.
Right.
Right.
And so we're currently in a three-year, $525,000 trial with Lurie Children's right now, trying to uncover more drugs available to the children, because currently there are less than 20 drugs available for our children. And just to give you an idea, the number one leukemia drug is 55 years old. As old as you, Steve.
And, yeah, or even maybe almost as old. But is there a reason that it seems to be even slower than developments we've made in adult cancers? Is it because a child's brain is developing, a child's body is developing, it's harder to do the work, or we don't know?
Well, it's hard to do the work because anything that's labeled with children or pediatric, anything in America, anything in the world, requires so many more resources that the individuals, whoever are behind it, either don't want to take the time to raise those funds or educate people. Because really, truthfully, what it comes down to with these drugs is changing the compound level to make them less toxic for our children.
Right.
They really are the same, you know, components. We just have to just tweak them a little bit. So
yeah, you don't want to damage a growing child while you're trying to help a growing child.
Right, and that's a whole nother day.
Sure. And another thing, you know, we talked about this with Senator Durbin yesterday, I think. With the clinical trials, the nice thing is that you're getting actions and results. And sometimes, I think sometimes the research with these cancers, for these pediatric cancers, is all of them are so different that sometimes the research, they can't focus on one. But these trials can sometimes include encompass a few of the different cancers, so that way you're killing two birds with one stone, if you say.
Well, that is 100% correct, Mary, and that's actually the draw for the particular trial that we decided to launch into first, was it tackles all cancers, because unfortunately there are not only several, but a lot of the sarcomas are the ones that are kind of the forgotten ones that nobody does any trials on, as opposed to brain and leukemia. So we were very excited that we landed on one that covered each and every different type of
cancer. And that is progress.
That is. We're very excited about that. Yes.
Tell me about this fine looking gentleman you brought in with you today.
Oh, isn't he great?
That, well, so far. I mean, he could be a complete nightmare. But so far, he's a terrific guy.
This is Glenn Galloway. Not only is he been a Cal supporter for several years, but he decided last May, I got this crazy cryptic text late at night, that he wanted to do something much bigger than him to try to make a difference with pediatric cancer. And he told me that he wanted to do a ride. He wanted to do a ride on Route 66 from Santa Monica to St. Charles. And I thought,
Whoa. Santa Monica to St. Charles.
Yeah, I thought on a
motorcycle. That's a lot of miles.
Well, I thought on a motorcycle, Steve. And I was...
We're talking about bicycles?
We are talking about bicycles.
How's your butt?
It's healing.
2,499 miles.
Yep.
And the goal is to raise $2,499,000.
Yeah, $1,000 a mile. That's the goal.
That's a heck of a goal.
Yeah, we'll do it.
How many cyclists are we talking about?
Right now, there's 12 core cyclists.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's 12 people that are crazy enough to do this.
Mm-hmm. And how long will it likely take?
Well, it's going to be a 36-day event. And so we'll be riding 6 days on and one day off. So we'll be riding for 30 days.
How many hours on the bike each day?
6 to 8, depending on if we're going into the wind or
my
going
butt fell asleep just hearing that story.
And the funny thing is, you're going to be stopping along the way at some of these landmarks. You know, yesterday we had an author in who just wrote a book of all the stops you have to do on Route 66, and you're going to be doing some of those.
Yeah, Route 66 just stops sometimes. I mean, they have some states have really kept it up pretty well. It's an iconic roadway,
but the road just ends.
It just ends, and so
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, you got to work your way around it. So it's been a little challenging from that standpoint.
Have you ever seen some of the eye-catching events that go on? World's largest ketchup bottle. Was it a giant blue whale? Wasn't that one of them?
There was one, yeah.
Oh, we're going to be staying in Amarillo with the Big Texan, where you can eat the 72-ounce steak, which we're probably going to be able to do after 85 miles coming in.
You know, I'm no expert, but I'm not recommending it to get right back on the bike after a 72-ounce steak.
Well, that won't be for lunch. So.
They're calling this the inaugural War on Wheels. How do people help?
Well, there's a couple ways. First off, Instagram and Twitter. That's War on Wheels 1. You can follow us there.
And that's the hashtag, too?
That's the hashtag, too. Okay. And then you could jump on into the website, and that's waronwheels.us. And that's where the main donation area is. So you can donate. You could sponsor a rider. You could donate a pledge per mile. which is kind of neat. So, for example, if you happen to give 5 cents and you go 2,500 miles, it's a $125 donation.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's good. It's fantastic.
You have a chase team coming along? I mean, if somebody's bike craps out or anything?
Yeah, we have a couple ambulances following us.
Wait, so, you see the beautiful blonde behind him?
Mm-hmm.
His wife? You mean his wife?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot there's three beautiful blondes and a beautiful brunette. It's hard to pick.
Yeah, we have a great support team. We've got like 12 core bikers, and we have 7 core teams. So it's going to be big thing is when you're going from Santa Monica to St. Charles to keep everybody safe on the bike.
Well, and you got weather considerations and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we've got to get from point A to point B almost every day. So
what's the longest you've ever ridden?
105 miles.
Nah, it's just like $24.99.
And, you know, he's actually being really, really humble with his little comment about how Route 66 just ends. What's happening is I've learned over the last week that there's an additional 200 to 300 miles because some of the detours that they have to take.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yes. Route 66, if you Google it, there's different
I'd go three guys' yards. 200 to 300 more miles.
We do that. We actually, my brother and I have driven it from Chicago to Santa Monica twice to make sure everybody's safe. And the biggest thing we're going to have is dogs chasing us. That's kind of an interesting thing. You know, oh, they
sure, oh, dogs, yeah, chasing bikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if they go to that town with the wild burros, they might chase them.
Yeah, there's a town where donkeys come out of the hills and just hang out.
Oatman, Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
it well.
You know, we drove that. We're not going that way.
You said there's 12 core riders, but then along the route, are you going to be picking up riders?
Yeah, one thing great, if people go to the website, the unique thing about the event is that everybody can ride across the country. You can ride for a day, you can ride for
a
week.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, and so the big rides are going to be coming in from, we've got a Lincoln ride from Springfield to St. Charles.
Sure.
And that's a 4-day ride. And then the main ride is going to be the Cal's ride coming from Joliet to St. Charles. So we're going to have 46.
But honestly, by the time you get to Joliet, a bunch of people jump on the bandwagon. You're just going to run them off the road at that point, aren't you? You got to go, I've been on this bike forever. Mr. Last Minute.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to want to look at a bike after this one. But
right?
We're pretty excited about it. And we're really excited about
it. Carms, you ever try anything like this?
I actually, there was something being teed up for me this summer to possibly not do something similar. What's the largest day that you're going to ride?
From Flagstaff to Winslow, it's 107 miles the way we're going.
It's an eagle, son.
Yeah.
This thing that I was looking at, Steve, is 100 miles a day for 6 days, and you're saying the most you've ever done is 105 miles, so I'm just seeing that I don't think that I'm perhaps up for this one.
Well, 37 days.
Yeah, but the you're going to go 105, 107 one day, and then what's the next day?
That's probably 80. It averages about 80 a day.
Oh, so you'll be slacking.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Kicking it back to 80.
We got 155 mile day. We're just going to have margaritas and stuff like that. That's how it started.
That's how it all started.
Yeah.
Margaritas?
What's the preparation that you're doing?
Well, you know how Chicago weather is so nice, so you can get out there and ride any day, right?
Well, you got to have all sorts of gear, right? I mean, not just for the bikes. I mean, personal gear.
Yeah, you got you got nutrition you got to worry about. You've got bike gear in case something happens, flat tires, gears, and all that good stuff. So we've got all that prep too. So there's a lot of logistics associated.
You seem pretty
with
Clint Eastwood about this. Is he normally this cool, Stace?
Oh, he's the bomb.
Yeah,
he will do this.
I have no doubt.
He will absolutely make sure the funds come in. This will not be the last I see of Glenn Galloway and his team. They've done an amazing, amazing job. Logistically, it is so sound. His brother has worked night and day. I mean, it would blow you away. And I just want to comment real quick on the last day, the Joliet Inn to St. Charles is 46 miles, ironically. And it's 46 children are diagnosed a day with pediatric cancer.
Wow.
So to give you an idea, like while they're riding, from the time you get home, it will be 1,656 children that will have already been diagnosed. So, again, Glenn, longtime supporter, totally knew, what CALS is all about, but he wanted to make this. It's so much bigger than CALS. This is about pediatric cancer. The money is not only going to go to further our mission, but to also hopefully do a significant number of clinical trials. That's the main goal.
It's a big deal, man. You got to be proud already.
Yeah. Thanks. We're working hard at it. I think it's going to be great.
You have kids?
No.
So there's nobody at home to mock you, go, Dad, you can't do this?
The good-looking blonde behind
you. Ah, she'll take care of it. Okay, got it.
But don't let him fool you. She's riding, too,
yeah,
some
she
of
is.
It. Yes. Yeah.
And what do you do when you're not on a bike?
I work, well, I own a manufacturing company in Elmhurst and in St. Charles, small, flexible packaging.
Did you talk to the boss about taking a little time off?
Yeah, I did. It was it was kind of easy.
Yeah.
You know, that
seemed like a nicer guy than you thought he'd be.
It wasn't very smart. You know, he said, sure, go ahead.
It's an amazing thing. I hope you'll let us know how it's going along the way.
I will. We will definitely keep you posted on that.
Sandberg will connect you up. You can call in and go, Steve, this was a good idea.
We'll keep.
Where are you?
We'll keep in touch every day.
How about that?
All kidding aside, so each day we're going to be having different children that are currently in the fight or families that are no longer have their children here with us just to give them some inspiration and to keep them going.
That's very cool.
But we would love to have you, you know, call in and give them a shout out and
sure.
just to pick me up because it's a completely different, not only is it a physical battle, but it is going to be mental. Several of them are not traveling with their spouses and are leaving children at home. And so for, you know, it's a huge ask for almost 6 weeks, 5.5 weeks. It's a pretty big deal. But when they roll up in St. Charles, we're hoping that everybody can come out. It's on June 2nd.
Yeah, there should be a big party.
At St. Mary's Park. Yeah. We are having a party. Definitely. Laura's in charge of that. Go big or go home.
Please.
You know how Laura does.
Yeah, she'll be
so.
Fine. Yeah, it's going to be a party. And by the way, my 3.5-year-old granddaughter may be getting a big wheel soon. I don't have a bike currently, but I could grab that.
She can come out and ride with us.
No, I'm saying I'll take her big wheel.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the last day, seriously, the kids were letting some of the kids come in along with them, like literally
a
block.
Cool idea.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very cool idea. Stacy, wonderful job as always.
Thank you.
Cal's Angels website is?
Calsangels.org. And I know Glenn gave you a lot of information, but if you lost
everything's
any of it,
linked at Cal's, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Calsangels.org. And you can remember waronwheels.us or #waronwheels1. Good luck, my friend.
All right, thank you very
nice
much.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And,
great to see you. And
glad we cleared up that big fight we were having. It's 9:35. Headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN. WGN.
Broke Khan's here. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Cochran.
Steve Bertrand Travel has another one of these trips coming up. This is a Blackhawks trip when they play the Flyers in Prague.
Oh, yes.
Have you been to Prague?
No.
I may be going.
We were... This is kind of funny, because when they announced us, we were there. We announced it. Mm-hmm. We were the first to announce it mm-hmm. from the United Center.
Right.
And then we immediately said to Blackhawks management, we need to take a show trip there. And they were like, yeah, sure, we're going to do it. And next thing I know, nothing happens. We get aced out.
That's, you know what that is? That's a meeting at the Tribune Media Company that you've just described. Yes, we're absolutely going to do this. And then not much happens.
Yeah.
It's a 5-day adventure. It's the Blackhawks and the Flyers in Prague with all sorts of amazing side trips and amazing food. And round-trip air, great hotels.
Tickets to the game. What happened to the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis doing this? What? Steve!
I thought you and I were going.
Actually, I think I saw they're taking Kevin Powell and Lauren Lapka.
Are they?
Yeah, those are the new faces of the station.
Hey, look at it this way. You had a nice run.
I did have a nice run, yeah, that's true.
So, I'm told that you and I are going.
Oh, all yeah. right, well, then if we're going, then fine. Screw the rest of the show.
Three words, those aren't pillows. Blackhawks and the Flyers, a big 5-day journey. Anyway, get a hold of Steve Bertrand Travel and ask about getting in. It's a limited availability, as you can imagine, and the tickets to the game are exceptionally limited. So SteveBertrandTravel.com. You can email him at Steve at SteveBertrandTravel or call him at 847-606-6065. You know what my favorite story is for you later?
I will say there's urgency on that trip, too. It needs to be booked.
You get it done.
Yeah. So.
Get her done. Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannulli
yes.
are really angry about being called cheaters.
That's terrible. That is really awful. How about scumbags? How do we yeah. feel about that?
It's like if Trump gets upset about being called a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you are what you are.
We did not cheat. You know, the fact that they're fighting this means she's going to actually do real time.
Absolutely.
The Felicity Huffmans of the world are getting 4 to 10 months, which means a judge probably puts you in for 6 days and then bangs you out to home confinement.
Right.
For 4 months and then
or
10
if you're
months.
Lori Loughlin, you're the really pretty girl in cell block C for 10 years.
She could go for 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people I know who've gone to federal prison, I know a fair number of them.
Mostly family members?
Some.
Yeah.
They look at it as Christmases. Like, how many Christmases am I going to miss?
Oh.
And that's Well, that's the way it goes.
Well, did you guys get into this on the show? Olivia Jade. Now, you have a daughter. I have a daughter and a son. Mm-hmm. Olivia Jade was making about $2 million a year with her social media influencer thing. And if you watched any of the videos, and I had to because it's my job, she's a dingbat. She's a pretty girl who understands fashion, makeup, and social media. See, and she had a nice business going along. And then mom and dad, to some degree, decided, we have got to shove her into college. Now, they realized she wasn't smart enough to get into college, so they put her on the fake crew team to get her into college, which is how they've got him into this mess. She lost all of her business. She could be criminally liable if she knew any of this was going on. That still remains to be seen. But you have to realize not just your own limitations in life, you have to realize your kids' limitations as well. And if you got a kid who's a dingbat, who's killing it at that level, how about you just support him and ask if you could work for him someday?
Yeah, let him kill it.
Yeah.
Let them kill it. You know, well, she's not just a dingbat. She really reeks of the whole cartoon of America right now. Like, the idea of privilege. And I'm a middle-aged white guy who wears a suit with jeans on every day and tennis shoes. I call myself highly privileged, right? I don't worry about a whole lot.
No, and we both
except maybe my inside-out golf swing. That is privilege. This woman is reeking. But, you know, I try to do other good things to, you know, because we get these things, right?
Same boat.
Right? And so this is when you're there and you get something great, and then you get on your own social media channel, whatever it may be, and you brag.
Well, you
that,
can't compare.
Hold on a second. I'm not done with my point. When did I ask you to jump into my point? My point is this.
Well, okay.
The point is that when you are, and then you're bragging to your friends about how you just don't care because you think that's cool, and your parents know that you're doing that. See? I was getting to a point, wasn't I not?
Yeah.
All right. And the parents don't stop and go, hey, wait, we can't be doing that.
But that yacht has sailed by the time she gets to school. Whatever they didn't teach her, whatever character she doesn't have is already, as the kids say, baked in.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Zimber?
Well, just your perspective, Ro, at a more advanced age than 18, you have perspective. She's 18. 18-year-old role with privilege. You don't know what you would have maybe said or not said.
I can tell you this. I was 18 once, and I was very respectful of what I had.
So was I, because I didn't have any.
When I got into college.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a difference in just being a jag.
I had a kid.
You know who kids are who are jags, right?
Sure.
I mean, there's everybody who's got a kid in high school knows who the jags are. If you don't, it's your kid. So
one of them's president right now, so.
Yeah, and I had a social media thing in 1979 where you would chip it into a rock and you'd run it over to another town. And in that village, they would also spread the message as well.
You know, we had that social media thing, which was a piece of paper that was like an origami thing, and then you just move it around. Does she like you? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Between that and a magic eight ball, there's your internet. More with Rowan in a second. Steve's in the newsroom. We were just talking about your trip to Prague.
Did I hear you say you were going to go?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like I am.
I heard I was going to go, too, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like Ro wants to go with me, so we've got a booking problem. Bill and Wendy are saddling up. Ro Khan's here. Ro, I consider you an expert on every food establishment in Chicago. And do you know about Hoots?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know about Hoots?
Not as a restaurant, no.
Hoots is Hooters' family-friendly quick-service concept.
Oh, no.
I mean, how could you tie the two together? Obviously, they've gone completely down the road on the name. They plan to open at least two Chicago locations, Logan Square and the South Loop. The first Hoots opened in Cicero in 2017. Company attempted to reverse slipping sales, capture more of the home delivery market. They're going to offer chicken sandwiches, snow crab legs, fried pickles, and girls in tight t-shirts. It's totally different than Hooters.
I see. Well, you know, their chicken... We used to take the show all the time to Hooters just for the chicken, and then we'd wear blindfolds.
I took it for the articles.
Yes,
that's why I went to Hooters.
For the idea of it. Yeah. Really has nice wings, but that's a separate issue. I'm glad that I can now order my Hoots at home.
Well said. You're on today at 3?
That's what Bob Kraft said. I am on today, well, after the White Sox game.
White Sox
are playing at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And so when we get on, we'll be on the web and CLTV starting at 3 o'clock. And then if you want to join us on the radio, probably around 4:45, 5 o'clock. I might have a few things to say about the emails and texts that have been released from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not going well over there either. Yes, Sever.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Burcham from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Mark Carman, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We're unclear if you'll be with us tomorrow.
We are unclear, yes.
That'll be determined depending on Dave Ennett's CIA work, which will be, come to a rather conclusion one way or another later today.
Dave is probably upset at you for bringing that up, Steve, but,
Oh, it was a secret.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something big.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Steve.
What are you guys doing? Wendy, I'm not asking about the show. Stop.
Oh, you can.
No, don't yell at me.
I'm prepared.
Before you ask them about the show, I just want to say tomorrow, is our political hour and the 7 a.m. hour, but we have a special twist. Eric Edelstein will be in studio, and he was at the Masters this weekend on Sunday. So his first trip to the Masters, and he got to see Tiger win. So we're going to do
He played in a heavy, group way in front of him.
Heavy golf coverage tomorrow during the political hour.
He texted me Saturday night. He said, I got a chance to go to the Masters. I mean, what do you think? I said, I think you need to not text me and go to the airport right now. So, what are you guys doing today?
There is a man who is trying to help as many people as he can break their addiction to heroin.
No,
this is the heroin epidemic is out of control. Tim Ryan from A Man in Recovery Foundation will be on with us. It's always a pretty powerful radio.
Now, let's talk about some of the dumber things Bill might be doing today.
Yeah.
What do you have on your agenda, Bill?
I'm just going to shoot rubber bands at Wendy for most of the show.
Yeah.
Not the whole time, but
you do it during the break or while you guys are live?
During the show.
We're live.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't even know this about you, Wynn. Did you have a brother?
Oh, yeah. I am the youngest. I have an older brother and an older sister.
Were they as fun as Bill?
Fun? You call that fun? Irritating?
Maureen tells me that when she and her sister were growing up with three older brothers in the house they had, the girls were in one room. The boys, to a certain point, all shared another room. And the second the parents would leave, the rooms were right across the hall from each other, the brothers would come out. They would tie a rope from their bedroom door to the girls' door, so they couldn't open their door, and they'd be stuck in the room the entire time. And they had a gravel driveway, and the moment the gravel crackled on the way back, they went, got the rope off, went and sat down, watched something on TV, and goes, hey, did you guys have fun?
Perfect.
Brothers.
Yeah, brothers.
Good times.
Feels like my radio brother.
Good times. All right, it's all you. See you tomorrow.